This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
Welcome to another edition of PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday, April 8th. And Fred Kirsch, our fearless leader, is...
What year is it? You didn't give the year.
The year of our Lord, 2008, Paul. Okay. Thanks for that clarification.
Well, I didn't want anybody to be, in the dark on as to what year it was.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. All right.
All right, then.
Fearless leader Fred Kirsch is en route or probably already in San Francisco for some NFL meetings. So Eric the Leg here sitting in for him in the host chair, joined today by PFW editor Paul Perillo. And... back from his suspension.
Yes, and tell it like it is,
head
Eric.
Staff writer.
Tell it like it is.
Tom Casale.
After my 1 week suspension, I appealed my suspension to the Crafts. I won my appeal. Now, Fred Kirsch has been suspended for a week. Now,
I wasn't privy to those details.
Yes, now he's gone. He's out.
He's out?
Yeah,
Fred's
for a week.
Out.
Out for a week.
And
yes.
Andy also got a 1 week suspension for being the instigator.
It is.
Because of his little cackling that always escalates any arguments, whether it's me and Fred
instigate.
Or in this case it was
right.
Tom and I, whatever argument happens to be going on, mm-hmm. it's the instigator in the corner.
I am
so,
what I am, and that's all that I
that's
am.
That's why he's getting something stuck up his butt as we speak.
That's right. Yeah. That is. We have a lot to talk about on the show today.
As Andy likes
but the
to
big
make
news,
fun of other people getting things stuck up their butt.
Exactly.
Right? He's getting it twofold today.
Now, with Andy not here, when you did mention that Fred was in San Francisco, mm-hmm. I was going to say... In lieu of
oh, out, I see where you're going there. I see
so
where you're going.
I didn't send you to San Francisco, but, I thought better of it.
That's
briefly.
Very kind of you.
Okay.
Not to generalize.
That'll be my last shot that I take at
okay.
you. But, Andy's presence had to be
not
felt at some point.
No, of course not.
So we're a little bit undermanned here, but we can get by.
No, we'll be fine.
And there's nobody in between Tom and I, unlike last time.
Unlike last time, I was the
you were the buffer. So
right.
You never know.
So I'm a little worried about this
you
show.
You never know.
I don't have that 120 pounds between us now.
I don't think the two of us can constrain you guys.
I know. Between me and Mini Gary, I don't think either one of us is...
I'm not as tough as those school kids you used to have to whoop in the prep school. So I'm not from the mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut like you.
I didn't say I was from Greenwich, Connecticut. I went to school with some kids who... may have come from the rich, mean streets of Greenwich, Connecticut.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I was just saying that as a wrestling thing.
No,
so
I know
it's even funnier.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Lots to talk about aside from Andy's colonoscopy and Fred's. I guess we just learned suspension for this week.
That's right.
And Gary obviously has been suspended too because Mini Gary's in the house today.
Well,
so
he's just on vacation.
Well, it's just I don't know if you know, but the Red Sox opener.
Yeah.
Why would Gary be here?
Oh, that's true.
Red Sox home opener.
That's true.
The rest of us actually had to work, but,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some doings with the Patriots at the Red Sox home opener. We'll get to that. Paul, you want to briefly just touch on that?
Well, I thought you were going to say some doings with the Patriots and,
oh, of course.
Just with the Victor Hobson signing.
Right.
Is the, probably the news of the moment.
And also the, probably that being 1A and 1B, the last time we were on the air, shortly after we got off the air, the NFL released the preseason schedule, so we have a little bit of insight as to what the start of our season is going to be like. So we've got that. We've got the Hobson signing. Just some injury updates we never got to last week on certain players, Tom Brady, Benjamin Watson, and some other news that we'll get to as well. You can, as always, join in the discussion via email. webradio@patriots.com is the address if you'd like to join in anything we're talking about, football or otherwise. And if you'd like to give us a call, 508-543-7482 is the number. Guys, let's start off with, like you said, the big news item is the signing of linebacker Victor Hobson, formerly of the Jets. Are any of you as surprised as I am that it took this long for this to happen? It's been rumored for a while. There was talk about Clark Hagans, who ended up signing with Arizona a week ago. But this guy's been out there. The Jets haven't been beating down his door to get him back. Didn't seem like any other teams were clamoring to get him. Why did it have to take till April 7th for this to be made official? Why do you think?
My guess
yeah.
would be that he wasn't looking to sign a one-year deal anywhere until he realized that that's the only option that he had. So I don't have any knowledge in that, but that would be my guess is, you know, here we are, you know, in early April, a couple of weeks before the draft. Anybody that maybe expressed interest in him early in free agency probably wasn't looking to invest any money in him or any years. So he probably was balking at that, figuring, hey, I'm a five-year guy. I've got a lot of starting experience under my belt. I can play in this league. I can get more than that. And then all of a sudden you get push comes to shove. It's you don't want to wait till after the draft if you're still out there, because then teams can potentially fill some more holes through the draft, and that even gives you a smaller you know, school of teams to pick from. Patriots were still interested. They gave him a one-year deal, so he's here. It's obviously a guy that I think we all thought Tom had mentioned him a long time ago as a guy that would make a lot of sense, and we all agreed. You know, a kid that played in the 3-4, can play inside and outside, although he played mostly outside there. I think his size is more conducive to play inside. Mm-hmm. He's only 6 feet tall.
6 feet, 250.
So I think, you know, on the surface it makes a lot of sense, but I don't think it's a sort of stop-the-presses kind of signing. It's a good, solid signing.
And it wasn't for any trepidation about his play.
I have no idea.
You don't think?
I have no idea. I mean,
well, no one else wanted him. I should say
see,
this.
See, that's what I think.
Victor Hobson, I thought, sucked at Michigan. And when the Jets drafted him and then B.J. Askew, the Michigan fullback in the third round that year, me and my friends were just laughing, who are Jet fans. But my friends who are Jet fans cannot stand this guy. I mean, they have just a hatred for him. So, you know, I'm not going to pretend that I've seen every play that he's played. I don't think it's a bad signing because you're getting him for nothing. He can be a rotational guy inside.
Exactly.
He has flexibility to play outside. But just knowing from some of the Jet people I talk to, I mean, they have a real hatred for him. So you have to wonder, with that coupled with no team wanted him, and I mean, obviously nobody wanted him.
Right.
Because like you
said,
Eric, he's been around. He's been out there, you know, and I said to Paul when they signed him to a one-year deal, aren't there a lot worse teams than the Patriots out there that could use a guy who's played in the league? And
That's what I was thinking. I mean,
but maybe the other teams like, say, a San Fran or an Arizona were offering similar money, and Hobson's thinking, well, if I'm going to sign for that money for a year, I might as well do it with the Patriots.
Right. Try to go somewhere where at least there's a chance.
I really think that's what it all comes down to is that, you know, and I'm not trying to dog the guy or anything like that because I don't know for sure, and I haven't talked to his agent or anything like that, but it just doesn't seem to me that there was a whole lot of interest in the guy because he signs a one-year deal. I'm just going on the circumstantial idea. One-year deal in April tells me that, you know, he's not looking to rehab his career. You know, there's reasons that a lot of guys sign one-year deals. He doesn't seem to fall into any of those reasons of rehabbing his career or trying to come off an injury and prove that he's healthy, any of those things.
And it's a little surprising if you just look at his numbers. He came in 2003, like you said, out of Michigan. Only started one game for the Jets that first year. But since then, he's been pretty steady for them. He started 10 games in 04, all 16 in 05, all 16 again in 06, 14 games last season. His best season was 06. He had 100 total tackles, 66 solo. He had 6 sacks, an interception, a couple of passes defensed. He, you know, seemed like
he had a good year.
He had a good
in
06, year.
He had a good year. And for whatever reason, he took a step back last year. He didn't play, wasn't anywhere near as productive.
Yeah, only 62 total tackles, 48 solos. In 05, he had 80. So for a couple of years there, he looked like he was trending upward. But
yeah, and I think he'll be a better fit inside. One of the reasons the Jets may have kept him outside is because they have so little pass rush. Maybe Mangini thought, well, we got a couple guys inside. Maybe we'll leave this guy out here so we can put a little pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what the reason. But, I mean, this guy, he's huge. Hobson is enormous. I mean,
6 feet, 252. That's pretty compact.
Yeah, and he's there's no fat on him. He's a machine when you look at him. And I think he has the size to take on the blockers. And, you know, like we said, it's no risk. If he becomes a rotational guy with Seau and Brewski, you've won. If he doesn't really do anything, you know, what have you lost?
Yeah, I agree with Tom's reason for probably, you know, you look at their personnel with the Jets had, and they had some guys that, like a guy like Vilma, they probably didn't know exactly what to do with, and, you know, that's further illustrated by the fact that they eventually traded him because they probably didn't feel like they could play him outside. They probably felt like he had to go inside, and, you know, then they draft David Harris, who is I think, an inside guy mm-hmm. with his size. So you know, maybe they just, you know, for lack of anywhere to really put him, you know, he got stuck outside. But I think he's too short to really play out there. You see a lot of the outside rush linebackers, you know, they're usually they're pretty tall. Colvin is pretty small for that role. But,
and even
you know,
he's 6.
But he's,
six,
yeah,
two,
but he, six, and he's three. Taller. Yeah, he's taller than Hobson. But I think you look at guys like Mike Vrabel, Terrell Suggs, and guys that have filled those kinds of roles, Sean Merriman, DeMarcus Ware, they're bigger guys, I think, for the most part. Not necessarily weight-wise, although Hobson is got some rocks in his pockets at 250-plus. I think he's a little short for the outside. I think Tom's right. I think he's better suited to take on blocks inside and play against the run.
And you mentioned Colvin, and talking to the Jet people, that's kind of what I got. Is that, you know how Colvin's here, and he's not a terrible player, but he's never really been the player you think he's going to be every year. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy always makes fun of him a lot of times. I kind of got the sense that's what he was in New York, where he's not the worst player on the field, but they expected so much more out of him, and he's not making the plays that you would expect him to make. You know what I mean? Like that type of player?
Well, at least, I mean, in Colvin's defense, if you wanted to make a case for him, not putting up the numbers or doing what you thought he might have done. He comes in the second game of his Patriots career. He goes down with that hip injury.
Yeah.
One could argue he's never been the same after that, although he hasn't been awful since he came back.
And I would argue that that's the reason, because I think that he lost some of his explosiveness. And as I just pointed out, he's not the biggest guy. So I think if you take away what I think was his biggest attribute, which is his quickness, I think it's certainly understandable to think that a fractured hip took maybe a fraction of a second away from his explosiveness, and I think that's a big part of why he never really was what we thought he was going to be.
But like you said, in Hobson's case, he's not coming off a major injury.
No,
he's
not
that
we know of anyway. Interesting, though, the one word, and I remember this at Michigan, the reason I didn't like him coming to the NFL, and when I talked to my Jet fan friends, they said the same thing, slow. Very slow in, like, the open field. Mm-hmm. And I know he had that problem at Michigan, so maybe being that inside linebacker where you don't have to worry, you know, where you don't have to take on as much, you know, kind of being that run stuffing guy and that type of stuff.
And you can be a little bit smaller, or at least shorter, not smaller. Yeah, 250, you're not really small, but shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Patriots have never really needed fast line. You know what I mean? Like, they never have the quickest, the fastest. They just need smart ones. So if he's smart, I think he'll be fine here.
And even, you know, I'm not sure about his, you know, his aptitude for the, you know, for the game or whatever, because I don't know the guy at all, and I don't know what his reputation is in that regard. But he does have the familiarity with the system, which is going to put him a leg up on a lot of the guys they've brought in. You know, Monty Beisel, for example, is a guy who I think they tried to kind of fit into that inside role. But in addition to him probably not having the right physical attributes, he didn't have the knowledge.
Right.
And I think that Hobson will come in with a big leg up in that regard, because he played in the system for 2 years with Mangini.
Always,
it's the same thing.
Always helps. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address if you'd like to write into us. 508-543-7482, the phone number if you'd like to call like John in L.A. did. John, what's up?
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Good.
Good. You know, I would feel a lot more excited about the Hobson signing if it had happened early in free agency, as though we were like, well, we've got some time in the system. We don't need speed or quickness if we're going to play him inside like you guys are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But given the fact that it's taken this long and we gave him a one-year contract, doesn't exactly inspire confidence that we found this, you know, nobody thinks he's going to be the next Vrabel-ish guy who comes in and excels. But I don't know. I wish I could be more excited about it. I'm hopeful, but.
Well, I mean, I think you have to look at it, on face value. He's not an awful player. He was a guy who's been available, like we said. Nobody's knocked down his door to try to get him. But he's not awful, and he's coming here to fill a role. There's obviously a need at middle linebacker.
He's not going to go to the Pro Bowl, but if you get a guy who can help Bruschi and Seau be a little fresher at the end of the year, then you got your money's worth.
Right. He's 28. He's 28 years old. He's pretty durable, like we said. He's only missed a handful of games.
He's only missed two starts in the last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean,
he played all 16 games 3 years in a row, correct?
2 years in a row, and he had 14 last year.
I thought he played all 16. Right?
Just didn't start. Probably, yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Played all 16.
I mean, I think Tom is absolutely right. You put him next to Bruschi, and that allows you to keep Vrabel and Thomas on the outside. If Seau comes back, you have that little rotation going inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all you need. I don't think you need this guy to make the Pro Bowl. And I really, to be honest with you, I think that inside part is becoming a little bit less because I think you're dealing with more and more specialization, mm-hmm. more sub packages and stuff like that. And I think he's a guy that could fill some of those. You know, Tom and I were talking about this yesterday, right after they signed him. Remember the game in November of 06 here, and Hobson was a pretty active part of the Jets defense that day, and that's why I think Tom and I, anyway, kind of thought he was a little bit better than maybe that he was, because I thought he was really active that day and then did a lot of nice things. And you kind of watch him at some other games, and you're like, wow, that's not the same guy that we thought. But still, knowledge of the system, versatility, and allows you to have some depth. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, that's what you're looking for.
Sure. And
being able to leave Thomas on the outside is key, I think.
Yes.
I agree.
Because, you know.
Or at least have the flexibility to do either
thank
or.
Thank God Andy's not here. But I think we saw late in the year when Thomas was on the outside, mm-hmm. he was much more effective than he was. The same as Vrabel. You know, they can play inside.
Sure.
But they want him on the outside.
He may have played the best game of any Patriot in the Super Bowl.
I'd agree with that, I think.
You know, and it kind of went largely unnoticed because mm-hmm. of the way the game ended and everything. But he was very active throughout that game.
Right, he was.
And I think that's kind of what we were looking for. You know, we talk about Colvin and mm-hmm. what you were expecting. That's what I think most people were expecting with AD.
Yeah, and, you know, like we said, he's most likely not going to make the Pro Bowl, Hobson. But he gives you that extra rotational guy. He's a little bit younger, fresher. You know, maybe he starts a few games. Maybe he's the starter. Seau comes in and
spells. He's the baby of the bunch
at
28, right?
Yeah. But he's in his prime, you would think, theoretically. So if you're going to get the best out of him, now's the time to get it. You said he's been in the 3-4 system already a few years. Not going to be as much of a leap for him to try to learn the system. So, John, any other thoughts on what's happening? Have you seen the preseason schedule? What do you think?
I have seen the preseason schedule, and no offense to you, but I don't care.
I agree.
Well, we only care.
No offense taken.
We only care because it affects where we go
to
eat.
Because we have to go to the road.
Well, that's true. I care on your behalf for that.
If we didn't have to go, believe me, we wouldn't care at all.
Yeah. I wanted to say that the Matt Castle, Wes Welker thing yesterday was great, or last week.
Last Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, they had some fun with it, which was nice.
They did.
That was fun.
They fit in just right on the show.
I think Welker missed a key opportunity, though, because when Castle was saying, if you want to see Wes Welker work, you should go down to the horse track and see him jockey.
Uh-huh.
He really should have come back with, if you want to see Matt Castle work, you should really go back and look at his high school tape.
Oh, my God, funny.
Thank you.
Two
Gary.
Genders.
Little Gary.
Little Gary. Mini Gary. It's Mini Gary.
That's the only button Mini Gary knows how to press.
Hey, John. John, quick question for you. What's the mood out there in L.A. like with the passing of Charlton Heston?
What is wrong with you?
Seriously,
how is that on the top of your consciousness?
Because the man,
can
the
we
man
works
a host.
The man, just,
nice.
Can the we man, just have John come in and talk with Tom and
the
I?
The man works in the Hollywood industry. I just wanted to get his reaction to something that's top of the news in outside of football.
Why don't you just introduce the callers? I mean, you asked him about the preseason schedule and Charlton Heston.
You just stay out of our way, all right?
All right.
Tom and I will piss everybody off efficiently. We don't need you to help us out.
All right. Yeah, John, go ahead.
You really, really have to stop. Like,
you just got blown up. How are you still on the line here?
Because he blew you up.
Oh, I blew you up.
I'm impervious.
Oh, good, good, good.
Good word there.
That's
an Eric word.
Got to stop it with the Fox News. You can't say you're a smart person and have Fox News be your news source. I mean, it's humiliating. It's humiliating that you don't know that it's humiliating.
I know it's humiliating, but it's the least of all the evils that are out there as far as news goes.
Oh, it's so not. MSNBC is what you should be watching. It actually has a
please.
So what are you
going to wing that? We got a Hollywood wing that on the line?
I think we do.
One of you is a Republican and one of you is a Democrat.
I am an independent. I am an independent. I always have been. I always will be. Don't you dare.
I have friends who are Republicans. They don't watch Fox News because they're not idiots.
I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. Thank you very much.
Well, that's even worse that you watch Fox News.
MSNBC.
Please.
All right, blow me up. See you later.
Ooh. All right, John, thanks for the call.
I blame that on you, by the way.
Blame what on me?
That little
the altercation?
Yeah.
That wasn't an altercation.
I'm sorry, I don't have a...
Hey, there was no swearing involved.
I don't have a thesaurus right in my mind ready to come up with the perfect word at every time. Oh. You know, except for like flavor of the month that took you a half hour to spit out.
All right, let's go to the in-progress inbox for Kieran... In Ireland, our good friend Kieran, who's been writing a lot lately, he has a question about the Victor Hobson signing. He says, hey, butthole surfer groupies, with the addition of Hobson to the linebacking core, do you think this will have any effect on the Patriots choosing a backer early in the draft? I know Hobson isn't a long-term answer to the Patriots' problems, but do you think Bill would hold out for one more year on picking a linebacker in the first round, possibly for Laurinaitis or Maluga? Having said all that, I really do like Keith Rivers and hope that the Patriots choose him. He has excellent speed for a linebacker and will give us the athleticism we so desperately need. What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, I don't think this changes their draft plans one bit.
I agree 1,000%.
If they liked Keith Rivers, they're drafting Keith Rivers at 7. The second thing is you must be expecting the Patriots to have a tough year if you want them to get Maualuga and those, because I know Laurinaitis didn't play well, mm-hmm. and everyone's down on him, but still, he'll go out, he'll have a good year. Those guys are top 15 picks, and unless the Patriots make some kind of trade, they're not going to be in position to get them. So I think if they think Rivers is a guy that can play, that's a definite possibility at 7, because the closer we get to the draft, it's more and more likely that Golston's not going to be on the board.
Right.
It looks like he's really moving up, and he's going to be a top 5 pick. And then you're looking, where are they going to go? I think Ellis is the best player in the draft. I don't think he's going to be there. So you're talking Dorsey. I don't know if you take the second best defensive tackle with all the money you have invested. So, you know, I think Rivers is a distinct possibility if they like him.
Yeah, I liked his tape, too, from what I saw of Rivers.
He's an aggressive guy. I did, too. And I think that the point that Tom makes that I really agree with is whatever they have for their evaluations – they're going to stick with. And that's, you know, people mistake this all the time. They say, well, they don't care about positional needs and whatnot. They do. They absolutely do. But they rank their board, and it might be different than yours or mine or the Cincinnati Bengals or the Baltimore Ravens or any other team. And people confuse that when they make a pick and saying, see, they don't care about positions. How do you know? You don't know how the board was stacked. That might have been the highest player on the board at the position that they wanted to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think I can say this now, so I will, because I'm not going to mention any names, but we heard that last year a player who got drafted in the second round, they had listed as their top undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
So,
that's the perfect way to put it.
That'll tell you right there.
A player drafted by another team.
A player drafted by another team in the second round was listed on the Patriots board, and we had heard this.
Mm-hmm.
Not even as a priority free agent, not even as a draft-eligible guy.
Well,
and I was told later that may have been a stretch, but not too far from a stretch. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
So at the very worst, like a late-round pick, maybe.
Yeah, that's what they considered him.
So, I mean, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't have targeted that position or that they didn't, you know, they didn't like that player.
Right.
That's what it means. So Cedric Ellis, if they pick Cedric Ellis, for example, it's going to be because they think that he is – the best player that they, you know, at a position, you know, they might have Matt Ryan as the best player available, but they're mm-hmm. not going to take a quarterback.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, there are limitations. They won't take, in my opinion, they wouldn't take a quarterback, at number 7. I don't think they'll take a running back at number 7, and I don't think they'll take, I shouldn't even say that I don't think they'll take a running back, but I was going to say I don't think they'll take a nose tackle, you know. But if Dorsey's there, I think he's too good to pass up.
Yeah, exactly.
So
You mentioned that
I think it's a little bit of a misnomer that they don't pick by need. They do pick by need, but they stack the board, you know, as Andy always says, vertically and horizontally.
Right.
And they try to stick with that.
And it's funny you mentioned about them, that player who was drafted in the second round who wasn't really that high on their board. one of the a recent interview with Thomas Dimitroff, who used to be our college scouting director here for the Pats, now the GM with the Falcons. He was telling a reporter who covers the NFL that one of the things he learned when he left here, one of the things he'll take away from here is that you have to do those kind of things. You have to rank your board the way you see it, mm-hmm. for your system, and not worry about what anyone else is doing. Because, and even if that means just the opposite, when you have a guy ranked really high that everyone else in the league might think, he's not really going to, you know, pan out to anything, and, you know, maybe we'll get him in the seventh round or sign him as a free agent. If you think he's a second, third, maybe even a, you know, low first round guy, and you think he's perfect for your system, you have to put him there and you got to take him.
Right.
That's what
Bill
was saying.
And Bill has, I mean, when they say on ESPN coming up next, Mel Kiper looks at the running backs, Bill's not sitting there like Jerry Jones with a pen and paper, you know,
yeah,
making
right,
notes.
Right.
He doesn't care what people think.
Right.
Of course. I mean, I really think that he doesn't. He locks himself in a room and it's tunnel vision. It's what he thinks, what the organization thinks. He doesn't want to hear outside stuff, and that's what they do. Because that's the only way that you would come to that conclusion, that a guy taken in the second round isn't even worth drafting, in your opinion,
right,
is to go by what you think.
Right. But on the other side of it, too, there are times when it appears, when you see that teams are drafting for need and suddenly there starts to be a run on a certain position and a team knows, oh, God, we need, let's say, a cornerback, and two or three corners have already gone.
That's some other team. I don't even think a lot of teams do it, but that's a good point. Some other teams will fall into that, and they'll say, hey, we have to have a corner.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get one. Now, I've seen teams, and I've seen the Patriots do this. They'll trade up because they want to get a cornerback, but they don't want to get stuck just taking any cornerback. They want to get a cornerback that they value.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots did that in 2003 with defensive linemen. There was a ton of defensive linemen taken early in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Dwayne Robertson, Jonathan Sullivan, Kevin Williams. If I'm not mistaken, these were all maybe even Jimmy Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy.
Were all in that 2003 draft. The Patriots, they wanted a defensive lineman, but they were afraid. They had a group that they liked, and they were afraid that entire group was going to be gone, and they weren't just going to take any old defensive lineman. So they traded up a spot, made sure they got Ty Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that ended up working out very well because Ty Warren has blossomed into a quality player, and he's a big part of that defensive line. But that's an example where I think people say they don't pick for need. I think that was a need pick. They needed that player, and
sure,
they went and targeted him, and they got him.
Right. If need and value come together,
that's what they do, is they try to mix the two. And I think they could do that with a guy like Golston this year.
They'd have to trade up.
Trade up, yeah, and I'm not going to be surprised if that happens. I don't get surprised with anything Bill does, because Bill doesn't close the book on anything. You know, we don't ever know what he's going to do, but he doesn't say, I don't believe in trading up, or I don't believe in taking a wide receiver in the first round, or I don't believe in A-B. He'll do anything.
Why paint yourself into that corner?
And his track record proves it.
Right.
He'll do it. He's traded up. He's traded down.
Mm-hmm.
He's drafted offensive line. He's drafted skilled guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's run the gamut. He'll do anything.
Mm-hmm. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Again, 508-543-7482, the phone number. Sean from Richmond, Virginia, not happy with you, Paul. He has a little disagreement. The subject line of his email is, Paul is an overweight DB. And I don't mean defensive back.
Okay.
I'm not sure I agree with Paul with his assessment of the trade with the 49ers, the one to get this seventh pick this year. He says, no matter how you look at it, it's a great trade for the Pats. If you look at it strictly from a draft position perspective, then yes, the seventh pick is much better than the 28th.
Thank you very much.
By your own admittance,
we're in agreement.
By your own admittance, however, this is not a top-heavy draft with lots of blue-chip prospects, he writes. What if there are no players available at 7 that the Pats really like? What if they can't trade out of the pick? Now they're stuck paying a huge rookie contract to an unproven player that they aren't sure about. Doesn't sound so great to me. I'd rather use that money to re-sign a proven player like Vince Wilfork. Or maybe they should have taken David Harris last year like everybody wanted and paid him less than the 7th pick. God willing, the Pats will get a great player at 7, but it isn't a great trade without the result to go with it, he says.
Can I just say something real quick?
Go ahead.
As the year has gone on, I've noticed more and more emails that say, we should have drafted David Harris like everybody wanted. I don't remember that being the guy that everyone was, you know, I know people liked him and some people, but it wasn't like a consensus, let's go get David Harris. People
were saying, I think we got made fun of him about
that,
if you recall.
If it was a late push by him that had him at the end of the first round, but most people were talking early second round. So I don't think everybody was saying last year the Patriots need to draft David Harris. I think they're saying that now because they wanted him, A, to draft the linebacker, and B, David Harris looks like he might be pretty good.
And maybe when they're saying everybody, maybe they're remembering how much that we – you know, on this show, liked him.
Yeah, and we did. And you know, we talked about it that day, and we all thought that would make sense. But look, they didn't do it. But it's not one, again, Bill Belichick isn't listening to us or anybody else.
Yeah, maybe they tried to trade up in the second round like the Jets did to get Harris. Didn't the Jets trade up to get him? Or they traded up to get Revis and then.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's.
And, I can't remember if it, but maybe, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I know, like, a couple years ago, the Cowboys, when they left the first round, when they made the trade with the Bills, were trying to trade back in to get Kevin Jones, and they couldn't do it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't like David Harris and they weren't trying to draft him. They just couldn't get him where, you know, they were picking.
Mm-hmm. Can I just for clarification purposes, am I under the assumption here that I'm a DB because he disagrees with my assessment of
look
the
at
trade
that douchebag
that got you from the 28th pick to the 7th pick?
That's what I read into
okay.
it.
Okay. I just, you know, I mean, if I irritated somebody in another way, which I am wont to do, I just was,
yeah,
I was unaware of this.
He didn't
one.
Mention anything else. It
basically,
seems like it's all...
he disagrees with my assessment that picking
right.
seventh is better than 28th, so I'm a DB.
He just wanted to get his email read.
So I'm a DB.
That or he was trying to pick a fight with you long distance.
That worked.
So, yeah. you didn't get him to swear, though.
No, you know. I had
takes a lot,
I
st-
well no because I had the most angry swear in the history of the show, and there's no question about that.
I see, I wasn't around for that.
No, that was back in the Walpole days when I
oh really back
yeah,
in the old
I,
office
I dropped the F-bomb in
really
serious anger. Yeah,
was it about 2 feet in or
let's
no?
put it this way, you know, most everybody was really worried about Tom and I last week,
yeah,
or 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
This was I was about 1,000 times more upset at Brian Morey that day than I was at Tom. And I'm not going to lie. Tom and I were pretty heated.
Oh,
we
I know. I was right in between the two of you.
I was 1,000 times more upset at Brian Morey that day than I was at
Tom. Do you remember what caused it, that initial?
Yeah, but it was a long story. We don't have to get into it.
Was football related or was
yeah.
it? Oh, okay. So.
No. It was a football thing.
So nothing serious. Then.
No. 5 minutes later, you forget about it.
Okay. Well, Trent,
it's football.
Trent in Albany hasn't forgotten about it. He's your sworn enemy, Tom. You remember him?
The only problem I have is that Trent loves Albany more than anyone I've ever seen. I really have no problem with him personally other than
I lived
in Albany. I know people from Albany, and they all think it sucks. Trent's the only person I ever met that likes it.
Well, he says, hey, nice try with the whole Tom had some personal stuff to do nonsense. You suspended his sorry for the on the air. Even us poor Albany folks aren't that stupid. You're a joke, Casale. Go back to hustling quarters on the street where you belong with the other degenerate gamblers. How the hell did you graduate from college? Well, we're not sure he did. You can't even talk straight.
I'll let you know when he does.
Let me tell you why. And he spells why, W-U-H. Another little dig at you, Tom.
Your mom goes to college.
If you're done being Oliver Hoyt's rhymes with witch, then you switch to Antoine Kayson. I'm sure he can use a gopher like you to do his errands. That's Trent from Albany. Not happy with Tom Casale.
Let me just tell you a story. When I got this job, when Fred first said, you know, you're hired,
uh-huh.
You know what I said to my wife? Or she wasn't my wife then, but is now. I said to her, I said, I've made it. I'm getting out of Albany, New York. Like, that was, like, the first thing I said. Like,
happiness is Albany in your rearview mirror,
it's,
right?
It's kind of like Good Times, where they're living in the, you know, they're trying to get out of the ghetto. That's where I was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hey, if Antoine Kayson needs a gopher, I'm available. I'm dying to be some rich guy's gopher. So I have no problems with that. If the Crafts ever need a new gopher, if, you know, Fred retires, I'm open.
Unbelievable.
A lot of anger in the emails today.
Well, he lives in Albany. I you can't fault that guy from being angry. Sometimes it'll just rain just in Albany. Like if you drive down the road 10 miles,
it's not raining?
No, it's just Albany. It's a miserable place to live.
Something just came up on the scroll on ESPN News that I guess Chris Mortensen is reporting that there's a movement underway by the NFLPA to oust Gene Upshaw.
Really?
Yeah. Which, as most people that listen to this show know, I'm 100% in favor of.
Yeah, he has not made a lot of friends in his time.
Even this latest thing, I don't know, you know, Tom, you probably didn't see any of this because you were away in your suspension last, and you weren't allowed to listen to anything about
right.
football. But there's this thing, I guess Troy Vincent, everybody thinks that he has been promoted to like the vice president, you know, the second in command. Mm-hmm. Well, he came out with this huge thing last week, Upshaw did, and said that's not true. There is no number two. I'm the guy. I'm the only guy. Whenever there's another guy around that people think that they answer to him instead of me, that's not, that creates problems. I mean, just very arrogant about the whole thing. And that was just the latest in a long line of things that rubbed me the wrong way about Gene Upshaw. I think the only guy that he has his best interest at heart is his own.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, that guy has, it's amazing. I mean, he had a good career with the Raiders.
Oh, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. I'm not taking that away from him. He's a great player.
I don't know if I've ever seen in sports somebody get that much, acquire that much power that quickly and after leaving the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's an odd thing.
It's really unprecedented as far as I can
think. He makes like $5 million a year. Just off of that, forgetting about the Players Inc. nonsense, which is a complete farce.
How he ever swindled that deal, I'll never know. I mean, but that's great for him that he was able to do that. But I think, you know, like you indicated, Paul,
how long has he been there?
Oh, God, it's been
25 years.
Yeah, see, to me, I just think sometimes people are in places too long. It's whether you like them or not, it's probably time for a change. It's probably time to let someone else get in there and see what – you know what I mean? Like, people get these jobs, and 50 years later, they still have them. Nobody told you you could have this job for life.
Well, it's interesting, too, that this is happening now because I think as during the owners' meetings last week, I think the report came out that there was some talk that I think in November – There's the option for the owners to opt out of the CBA.
Yeah.
And then that would potentially cause some labor
2010
strife.
Could be an uncapped year, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, it's a lot of
but the fact
mumbo
that,
jumbo.
You know, Gene Upshaw would be intimately involved in any of those negotiations if he were to remain on board.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's had a history of talking tough in the media, maybe playing a little tough behind the scenes with those kind of things. So did it specify, Paul, when you saw it, like who the movement was being led by, anyone in particular? Or was
it just was that's all basically. Here it is: effort underway to oust NFLPA executive director Gene Upshaw. That's all it says.
Well,
Chris Mortensen is reporting that.
Well, that's certainly an attention grabbing headline, and there's a lot of underlying stuff to that, I'm sure. But.
And then you see on Monday, Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback on SI.com, and he has this long labor-related piece in the open to his column. And it's you know, it just reads that, you know, the players aren't going to get what they want. It's not going to be a good thing for the players if it happens because they think, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, an uncapped year, this will be a lot of free agent money for players. Well, there's a lot of stipulations that go into it, one of which is you have to be 6 years instead of 4 years to be eligible for free agency. Even if your contract expires, even if you signed a five-year deal as a rookie, if your contract expires, you're not a free agent if it happens to coincide with the uncapped year, which I think he used the example of Braylon Edwards would be in that situation. After his fifth year, it would be the uncapped year, and he would still be have no unrestricted free agent status, things like that. The money wouldn't flow as freely as people think, and it just read as this whole propaganda piece for the owners. That's all it was. You know, and there's definitely good points there. There's facts in there that I think that they're trying to get to make illustrate for the players to know so they understand that it's not going to be as good as they think. Mm-hmm. But it just read as a total propaganda piece for the owners. I agree with what Peter said at the beginning of the column. No one cares about this stuff. Everybody only cares about the game. And if it's going to come to a work stoppage, then obviously people care then, because then they're not going to get to watch the games. But unless that happens, yeah, I'm really bored by the labor talks.
You know, NFL fans have become a little bit, I don't want to say complacent, but they've gotten used to having labor peace. I mean, 87 was the last time there was any sort of work stoppage. I mean, there were one or two times maybe where it looked like, well, you know, there was talk that maybe it could be this year, but then they always would work it out at the last minute or at the 11th hour, and they would get something done. But, you know, you look, baseball had some problems not too long ago. Hockey was gone for, I mean, I don't know if anyone noticed, but they were gone for a year.
Well, people noticed because they haven't come back.
Right.
So people definitely noticed.
But, you know, if it always seems like, the NFL will get it worked out. But, you know, maybe there'll come a point where, you know, it has been, you know, over two decades now, and, you know, things aren't getting any nicer between them. So, between Upshaw
and
everyone
else. It's interesting, though, to see if there's the ramifications of this movement, both even if it doesn't happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, wouldn't, you know, does he get any of his power taken away a little bit? I think that that's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's we're going to have to keep an eye on that, obviously, because like we said, you know, with the CBA option looming.
You see, your boy got hurt, Tom.
Yeah.
Jeter. Strained quad. He's going to miss the game today there, Eric.
Oh, boy, that's a tough thing to happen 6 months before the playoffs start,
yeah.
you know? I'm concerned.
Did you watch any of the basketball game last night?
Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, not a fan of Calipari, are you?
Well, especially not a fan of the arrogance that he took this whole free throw shooting thing mm-hmm. all along. And Tom and I have been talking about it throughout the whole tournament. Just come in and say, look, we don't shoot free throws well. We work at it. We're trying our best. We practice. It's mm-hmm. not a lack of effort, blah, blah, blah. But no, instead, he tried to convince us that it wasn't a big issue, that they really did make them. And what we saw with our eyes when they weren't going in wasn't really true. and he kept trying to convince us that they make them when they count and blah, blah, blah. Well, you lost yourself a national championship last night because you couldn't make a free throw and because you didn't call timeout after the last missed free throw that you had.
Right.
You know, that made it only a three-point game. You call timeout, tell them to foul, and then you can't get a three-pointer thrown in your face like that to go to overtime. So I was as happy as I've been in a while for a game that I had no real vested interest in who won.
Tom, you didn't take any hits with that game last night.
No, I just watched it. I mean, Memphis can't lose that game. In my opinion, they should have went undefeated this year. The two games they lost, I don't think they should have lost.
I
thought they were by far the best team in the country. You know, they had the lead. All they had to do was make, I mean, just hit 65% from the line. And you
one more. Just one more free throw. Because you can't even say it's one of those things that, you know, it would have changed depending on the score. Because Kansas maximized everything it could do in the last 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They scored on the possessions. They fouled and they kept, you know, Memphis kept missing free throws and they scored.
Yep.
And they still tied the game with 2 seconds left. So it's not like if they were down another point that would have forced them to do things differently. They couldn't do it any differently than they did. They tried to score and they fouled every possession down the stretch.
Little eerily similar. I mean, I know they did lose a couple of games during the regular season, but they were as close to perfect as any college basketball team can get.
Yeah.
And to have a lead late in the game and to lose the championship,
the only thing
what happened in Arizona.
No, I agree. The only thing is I don't think that they were
not nearly as dominant.
Well, they were dominant most of the season, but they weren't dominant in over the team. They weren't. I mean, I think if they played Kansas 10 times, they'd probably go 5-5. I mean, I think those teams are pretty even that played last night. I thought Kansas controlled most of the first 25 minutes, and then Derrick Rose caught fire in the next 10 minutes for Memphis. I mean, people love talking about the basketball, I'm sure.
Well,
but
I mean, hey, how about 4 number ones in the Final Four?
Yeah, it was a great Final Four, even though the games on Saturday weren't competitive. They were compelling just by the nature in
right.
which Memphis and Kansas won, I thought.
I was surprised.
And then it was a great final.
Carolina getting their butts whipped in the first half and then coming back from that.
Yeah, that was almost impressive display by Kansas as I, you know. I think they deserve to be the champs. I mean, I agree with Tom. I think that Memphis probably deserved to be undefeated.
Hmm.
I mean, look, they had the Tennessee game won if they could have made a free throw, and they had the Kansas game won if they could have made a free throw.
I just think starting about top seven guys, they're by far the best team in the nation. Kansas wore them down last night.
Yeah.
The other besides free throw shooting, they play stupid, and you saw that when Dorsey got his fifth foul 30 feet away from the basket. You can't let that happen late in the game. So, you know, talent-wise, they're the best, but between the years, sometimes they just have these lapses, and that's what cost them.
Did you catch the argument between Digger and Bobby Knight after the game?
No.
It was good. It was good. And you like that stuff because I know that you're critical, as I am, of the lack of analysis, and you sent me that link to the Dick Vitale thing, which I agree with you on. But they were talking about after the – Rose had 2 free throws with, what, 9.8 seconds left. He missed the first one, makes the second one, which makes it a three-point game. Calipari said that the players were supposed to foul, so they didn't get a three-pointer off. Bobby Knight's contention is you call a timeout and say foul if that's what you want them to do. You don't leave it to chance.
Right, right.
Digger Phelps is arguing with him, You don't need to call a timeout. You just go and you play. They know, you know, from what you've been teaching them and coaching. And Bobby and I just come back and said, hey, look, in the national championship game with 10 seconds left, I'm not going to assume they remember what I told them at practice. I'm going to make sure that they know what I want them to do right there. That's on Calipari. And Digger was that typical, apologetic toward the coach kind of thing. And Bobby Knight wasn't having any of it. Bobby Knight was as good last night as he's been. I haven't really cared for much of his analysis because he hasn't really given you a whole lot. It's basically whoever right. plays well in the game that he happens to be watching, like Pitt. He fell in love with Pitt because of the Big East tournament, you know. But last night I thought he was right on, and I'm not a big Bobby Knight fan.
Meanwhile, my poor PC Friars still don't have a coach.
Jim Larranaga turned him down.
I know. Former Friar, you know, he's done well at George Mason. Everyone thought, oh, that sure thing, he'd come back.
He turned it down. They probably would have come close to doubling his salary, and he turned them down. That's an eye-opener, my friend.
I know. And then the Brown guy, Robinson, went to Oregon State yesterday.
His name
was thrown out there. Fran Fraschilla maybe had an interview last week, they were saying.
The Brown guy made a mistake. That's a job I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. That's just
he's a riser, though, that guy.
No, I'm just saying, though, that's why I wouldn't take that job. I would have tried to find because
isn't that weird how that works? Because that was, I mean, they were good
right.
for periods of time in the 80s, and they've been bad for a long time.
I mean, any program can turn around in college these days, but I'm just saying you're in Corvallis. They don't really care about basketball. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
It's not like their football team where they've had, you know, decent – runs lately.
Well, the thing is, too, everybody cares about football. So, like, right. every pro basketball, some programs just don't put as much, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the fan base isn't quite as big, and mm-hmm. it just, but that's a tough one. We'll have to see how he does out there.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com. The email address, TG and Joyzy, his subject line, no Andy. No Andy? Eric, you must be excited. You can host the show unhindered. No pesky gay innuendos constantly being thrown your way. Doubt Tom or Paul will be able to cover for Andy. They're too busy circling each other looking for an opening to make a strike. Oh, well, there goes the idea of no gay innuendos. His serious questions for today, though. So is Junior Seau coming back for sure? What do you think? That's one. I assume Kyle Brady is out of football for good. That's two. What are the Patriots doing to address the tight end position? Sorry, Eric, he writes. And finally, why is Rod Marinelli singing like a bird? So let's start with the first and most important one. Junior Seau coming back. We still don't know for sure. He doesn't know for sure. Bill apparently doesn't know for sure. What do we think, though? What's our gut telling us? I'll start with Paul because he's got the biggest gut of all of us.
I must have missed the memo. I thought he was coming back. Was that just an assumption? Because
oh, yeah. No,
I thought someone said something.
No, we don't know. He said that he has to decide between surfing and playing another year. So either way, he's going to win is basically the last, I think, public comment he made. Mm-hmm. On the topic.
He did have rotator cuff surgery.
My head tells me no way he comes back, but if you're asking me, like, you know, a gut feeling, you know, my heart, I think he comes back. I think that he's going to make one more run at trying to win it, but to me, logic would say, what are you, nuts? But I think logic went out the door a long time ago. The guy is a freak of an athlete. He's obviously in tremendous condition. Held up over the whole season last year, you know, in his mind, he probably saying to himself, what's to say I can't do that again?
And came so close and came up short.
Or maybe he called Bill this weekend and said, Bill, I'm done. And Bill said, well, where's Hobson's number?
Anybody got Hobson's number? That would be hilarious to find out in the book like 2 years from now.
Well, what do you think, Tom? You think he'll be back?
Yeah, I think he'll be back for one more year. He's got one more year in him. Plus, if now you added a guy, more rotation, not quite as much wear and tear, because I think they would use him more on the passing downs, so he wouldn't have to, you know, take on those 300-pound guards as much. So
they'll throw Hobson in for that.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what the deal was with Kyle Brady. If they released him just because they didn't want him, I don't think it was a money deal. He wasn't making a ton of money. I don't know if the injuries last year, they, you know, said that, you know, there's too much wear and tear there. We can't rely on him. He can't practice. I think he wore down as the season went on. I don't think he blocked it anywhere near as effectively late in the year as he did earlier.
And, you know, he might be just the opposite case of Seau, where Seau's almost gotten more healthy as he's gotten older. I mean, I know
last year he was.
Right. Old. I mean, and if it weren't for the broken arm, you know, he would have probably played all 16 games the year before.
But last year was the first time he played 16 games, I believe, in this decade. So it's not
right,
like...
Right, because in Miami he missed games every year that he was there.
Yeah.
but maybe not more healthy, but he just looks like he's more athletic, more in shape, whereas Brady...
He's a freak, like I said. I mean, you can't argue with that.
We were concerned about Brady, you know, as early as training camp last year that, you know he's going to need a lot of rest and won't be able to practice all that much, maybe play sparingly.
That's why I wonder if maybe they just said, you know what, we tried to manage it, but even managing like that, we didn't get that much out of him, so let's just, you know, cut ties with him at this point.
And it was only... They only figured, well, you know, they're making this big run for the Super Bowl. You can help us out for a year, maybe get the ring that you've never gotten, and, you know. But the tight end position is pretty good as far as the draft coming up, I think. So, and they draft one, it seems like, every year. So there's going to be at least one, I'd say, drafted. And I don't know about free agency-wise. I think they probably exhausted that.
There's always those guys on the street, like Spock. You know what
I mean? Like,
they're kind of like kickers. They'll someday the team will just bring in a tight end, and you'll find out he was in the league for 5 years. You never heard of him.
Yeah, and he's been out for two. Yeah. And then but he's been working out for all this time, you know?
They might bring in one of those type of guys for training camp, or, like, you know, like the Marcellus.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happened to Marcellus Rivers? You know, he seemed like he was on, off. He seemed like they liked him.
Is he on another team?
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if he did.
I wonder if maybe he wasn't picking things up very well. Just because he was, you know, they had such a desperate need for tight ends last year as the season went on, and he was on and off, and then they just said, you know what, the heck with him. He's not picking, you know what I mean? I'm wondering. I mean, that's a speculation.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, we know at the end of the year, they had no tight ends at practice.
Oh, I know.
They had when Watson, Brady, and obviously David Thomas.
Right, we're all out. Spock was the only tight end.
They even had a kid on the practice squad in Raider, who was hurt. The only active tight end they had was Steven Spock, who was on the street 2 weeks before that. So something tells me that Rivers was not picking things up.
That's funny because, you know, when a guy gets cut and brought back as many times as he did, you kind of tend to think, well, maybe he's just not good enough, but he does pick it up. That's why they like to bring guys like that back, like Patrick Pass was one of those guys who was always, when he was hurt or getting cut, he was always being picked up again. But it's just, I don't know. But there's going to be some tight end movement in the draft for sure with the Patriots.
Tom, this game behind us here, this Minnesota-Chicago game that they're playing on NFL Network, it's from 1994. Doesn't it look like it's from like the 1890s?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like ridiculously old. Some good shots of Brian Billick on the Minnesota sideline and Dave Wannstedt on the Chicago sideline. A lot of hair. Unlike me.
Oh, well, I can relate to
that.
They
got a little two-gender thing going over there.
Oh, really?
Mini Gary, yeah.
Mini Gary, do you know offhand, do we have a pin on our map for Stuttgart, Germany?
I love how he has to give you the little accent.
Can't you look at the map and see if we have a pin there?
I can't see it from here. It's all the way in the corner. I didn't know if you knew offhand.
Be a little DB.
Why don't you take a break?
Why is he dropping? Why is he dropping the attitude?
It is, you know, it is.
I don't know where that is.
What time is it over there?
All right, we'll be taking a break in a minute.
12:52. It's time for the 12:53.
Pretty soon. I just want to get Frank from Stuttgart, Germany.
Stuttgart.
Yes, Stuttgart. His subject line is voting draft. Hey guys, can't listen to you live because I have to go home now. But wanted to get your opinion on the first picks in the upcoming draft. Anyway, I'm part of a football community in Germany, and in our message board, we're currently conducting a voting draft where each pick of the draft is determined by the users voting for a player. I found it remarkable how the first seven picks went, and I'm interested if you think this could indeed happen. Please let me know your thoughts on each pick. Number one, Miami. The choice was Chris Long, defensive end from Virginia. Number two, Jake Long went to St. Louis. Number three, Atlanta took Matt Ryan, quarterback from BC. Oakland at four went Glenn Dorsey, the tackle out of LSU. Kansas City at 5 took Ryan Clady, the offensive tackle from Boise State. Jets at 6 took McFadden, running back from Arkansas. And at 7, falling right into their laps, was Vernon Golston, defensive end, outside linebacker from Ohio State. Wouldn't it be nice if it played out like this, Frank writes, finishes off.
Yeah, sure,
that'd be unbelievable if it works out like that.
I think that could happen. Yeah. I mean, I think it would be great. You know, I think it would be a sexy pick that we could all be excited about. And, you know, rather than, you know, they might get a good player. You know, like a Glenn Dorsey, you know, I think is going to be a very good pro. I think he would fit, you know, what the Patriots do defensively. I think they could work him into the 3-4 at nose, but, you know, it's a nose tackle, you know. I think you have a speed, athletic rusher off the edge. I think that will be a lot more exciting to talk about. One thing on that draft that I would say I think that I doubt the most is Matt Ryan to Atlanta. I'm going to be very surprised if they take a quarterback based on, you know, talking to some people in, well, I think Steve Weish from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Yep, our good friend from the Combine.
Dimitroff, I think, is going to try to, you know, he thought would try to take a page from the Patriots and focus on building the lines first. And I think that for that reason, I would be surprised if they took a quarterback.
I would be stunned if clearly they need one. Ellis or Dorsey didn't go there.
To Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dorsey, I think, is the guy that would make sense there. I mean, I think Chris Long makes a lot of sense for Miami. Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually, someone last night told me, someone who's pretty tight with Parcells, by the way, that they have some optimism about John Beck.
Really, being their future?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they've kind of looked at everything that he's done, and they've looked at everything that Ryan and Brom and those guys have done, and they think Beck is better.
Really?
So, you know, I take that for what it's worth. Maybe it's a huge smokescreen, and that, you know, I don't know.
Well, Atlanta's certainly doing their due diligence on Ryan because, according to reports not too recently, they were up here
in
New England.
They've been here, yeah.
They've been here. They took Ryan out to dinner a few days ago, so at the very least, they're, like we say, doing their due diligence on a player who will most likely be there, or at least is projected to be there in the top five somewhere. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it would be amazing if Golston fell those seven spots right to New England. That would be, I don't think you could ask for anything better. They don't have to trade up to get him. He's there.
If they don't take him.
Then I'd be shocked.
We'll be bummed.
Oh, we'd be bummed, and I'd be.
That'd be another one of my resigning.
You're going to have two sections of fans. You're going to have a section that is very upset they didn't take him, and the Kool-Aid drinkers like Fred who will just defend any pick regardless of what it is.
Right. We know how it's going to go down. You know, they don't take him all day Saturday. All the fans will be killing them. Even Fred will be upset.
Yep,
and then on Sunday morning, when we start our show on Sunday morning, Fred will open with his half-hour dissertation as to why it was the exact right thing to do,
right.
And the fans will follow suit.
Right.
And then Tom, Andy, and Paul will get killed.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The phone number, we'll get to more of your calls and emails right after this.
4-0 New England! What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
On the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Good song, Mini Gary. Nice choice.
It's the only thing he does well.
He is. He's a good DJ. Very good DJ. Any of you name the artist?
The band. Is that right?
Yeah. Mini Gary shaking his head. Nice job. All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Talking about a lot of things today. The Victor Hobson signing. We're about to get to the preseason schedule that came out late right after our Thursday show last week. But more importantly...
Jesus, you love that preseason schedule, don't you?
I was going to say, you've been teasing it for over an hour now. Just we'll say that they open up with Baltimore at home.
Right.
And they go to Tampa in a game that's on NFL Network on the Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
You're excited about that one, I know, Paul.
Then they host Philadelphia, and then they go to the Giants. There's no need to like drag this out. It's really not all that compelling.
But it's a sign that the actual schedule is going to be coming out probably in a couple of days.
And when we'll care.
I know, but that's what's exciting about it.
The actual schedule was going to come out soon was the NFL owners meetings, which took place last week.
I know, but I get excited when the schedule comes out. I like to plan my year. I like to know what's going to go on.
You're not
going to
be excited when you see this one. I can tell you that much.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm predicting, Paul, and you and I talked about this last week, that there's when we play San Francisco and Oakland, those games are going to be back-to-back, and we're going to be spending a week out there. That's my prediction.
Okay.
We also, I don't know if you caught this, Tom, Robert Kraft lobbied.
For a home opener, I saw.
1 o'clock opener. And lobbied
that.
For 1 o'clock home games in general.
Yeah. But night games but on the road.
You have to have the night games on the road, to which I said, if we have to have the night games, I'd rather have them
right
at home. I mean,
rather switch that philosophy.
Yeah.
1 o'clock games on the road.
Did he have to do with the year we were flying out west 10 times?
I know. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Might as well make those West Coast games night games, you know? What's the difference?
Well...
4 o'clock, what's the difference? I mean, it's a miserable day. You lose the whole next day no matter what. Might as well make them night games.
I'm sure at least two of them will be. Would they Sunday or Monday night games? I'd say half of them.
Well, now the Raiders are...
Seattle.
The Raiders will be on because you didn't know the Raiders are on every primetime game. You see the opening weekend schedule?
Yeah,
the Raiders
yeah.
on Monday night. Yeah. Didn't we try this 2 years ago where they were embarrassed by the Chargers 27-0 in the most boring game I ever watched? To me, like,
you
I know,
still watch it, though.
I know that they have a built-in audience, but to me there's an excitement about the season starting. And like the year they had the Patriots and Colts game, that was a great game to start the year with.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know, and here you have opening...
Even Patriots-Steelers the year before.
Yeah. Here you have opening weekend, and you thought this would be the time to showcase a franchise that is... See, plus, I don't think you should be rewarding teams like that. I don't think the Raiders deserve to be on primetime in opening weekend. I know there's a lot of Raider fans out there, but when the Cowboys stunk, I didn't want to see them on primetime.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the opening weekend, and I understand what the NFL thinks. They have to get everybody on primetime once. So they're saying those teams that we figure are going to be bad, we want them on as early as possible before they're 2-11.
Before we know that they're bad. Right.
You know,
get it out of the way.
But I also agree with Tom. I think that you can put them on in week two. And it's a much better situation than putting them on a week one. Everybody's excited.
Sure. Everybody wants to watch week one.
They're excited until they turn on Monday Night Football and see that the Packers don't have Favre anymore and that Tavares Jackson plays quarterback for the Vikings, then the next game is the Raiders. I mean, those are two terrible games, awful games.
Yeah. Right. Well, as we sit here and discuss football and other things, Andy Hart is recovering from the first of...
Colon blow?
Yes. The first of... Who knows? Maybe many... No, I don't think he is, but we have an emailer who's taking his aggression out. A lot of aggression, like you said, a lot of aggression in the emails today.
A lot of anger.
This emailer is taking
it out. I like
it.
Don't get me wrong. I like the hostility.
Oh, quick question, PFW history. Did we used to do emailers of the week? Did we have like an award or something for emailers of the week?
Yeah, you used to go to the guy who bought us lunch.
Oh, okay.
Now so many people buy us lunch.
And plus, no one buys us lunch anymore.
Okay, because Josh in Arlington claims he is former PFW emailer of the week, May 16, 2007. That was his signature. It's documented right there. So, subject line, death wish. I realized on Friday that I was a whole week behind on PFW in progress. So, making a tragic mistake in judgment, I decided to listen to all 4 hours from Tuesday and Thursday in one shot. What a mistake. My head almost exploded after 3.5 hours.
Well, after 3.5 hours?
I was going to say, you made out okay.
If you lasted that long, you did all right.
You made out okay.
Anyway, I wanted to follow up on one thing that keeps coming up on the broadcast. I agree with Fred. Andy has lost it. It is in quotes. Whatever Andy once had, he has definitely lost it. Over the last year and a half, I've been listening. All of you have evolved as radio personalities in interesting and different ways, with the exception of Andy. Conversely, Andy has devolved into a more immature, childish, and crude radio personality.
When he had a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Not only has he failed to take criticism effectively and improve his shtick, he's also begun to show his blatant homophobia, another sign of ignorance and a tragic side effect of an inability to be creative while moving forward. What's next? Andy will begin targeting minorities around the stadium as an attempt to be humorous? You guys rock. Andy could learn something from Paul's journey from a grading radio personality to what he is now.
A grading radio personality. And what I am.
Andy needs to get his head out of his ass, as well as some other medical instruments that were there this morning. Keep up the good work.
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument and put words in my mouth.
Wow.
That's a good Andy.
I agree with that.
All of that? You agree with all of that?
Yep.
He's right.
It's like, you know who Andy is? He's Howard Stern. Remember when Howard Stern
only without the talent.
Right. But remember when Howard Stern used to come up with great material? He'd spend time writing his stuff, and it was so funny. Now all he does is bring in a couple girls. They take their tops off, and they look at their boobs. You know what I mean? Like, it's the easy way out. Some of the stuff he used to do, he doesn't do it anymore, and I can't blame him. I mean, he's rich. He doesn't really have to. So it's kind of like the Dickie V thing. Like, Dick Vitale used to be this good inside guy. You know, now he's just, Dipsy Doo, Dunkaroo. Mm-hmm. See, Andy's kind of falling.
Resting on his laurels.
Yeah. He's, you know, he had a couple of good runs, a few good jokes.
Sure. Married now, has a child. He's settling
in.
Yeah.
So he's taking the easy way out.
Are any of you guys concerned?
I just missed the part where Andy actually did the work and came up with the creative stuff and prepared and all that stuff. I missed that segment of the Andy Hart career.
Yeah. Maybe it was that weekend when he went to become a teacher.
That's true.
Could be.
That is true.
Any of you guys concerned about him, though? Seriously, about what's going on with
him?
His internal thing?
The colon blow?
Yeah. You know,
nah,
see how it went.
Tom tells me it's not that big a deal.
I bet you he's home.
I'm looking to take off a few LBs by doing one myself.
It is if they find cancer.
Well,
Something like that, but
I'm trying to keep positive. I have a line that I don't want to cross.
But the thing itself is, I mean, God only knows what they're going to find up there.
Yeah.
Fine.
See, I can only imagine.
So the process yesterday in the office, Andy was drinking this Gatorade.
The hell he was.
He was drinking this Gatorade thing mixed with whatever the.
He wasn't drinking that before he left.
I thought I saw him drinking it at one point yesterday.
You might have seen him drink Gatorade. He didn't have that stuff in there.
He didn't.
He wouldn't have made it home.
Oh. Well, he was eating Jell-O. He was doing...
He was definitely eating a lot of Jell-O.
He was claiming that he was doing what he was supposed to do to get ready for this thing.
Right. He had to take a pill at 3 and then at 5 start drinking the stuff.
Okay. So
he completely took over the PFW refrigerator. I mean, there was nothing in there but his stupid Jell-O.
Nonsense?
Yeah.
And he ate about 100 of those Jell-O things.
At least 8 of them that I can think of.
So the idea was he had to have as little in him as possible and then get rid of what little was in there to get ready for this procedure this morning. But he says at one point, middle of the afternoon, he's wolfing down his 95th Jell-O. And he says, I don't know, I think by 10 o'clock tonight I'm going to crack and have a pizza. I'm like, yeah, but then when you go for the doctor the next morning, he's going to have a little surprise. And he's like, well, as Fred Kirsch says, That's the job he chose. That's the profession he chose.
Yeah,
so.
It's okay that
no,
the,
you know what would have happened?
Feel bad
the
for that
proctologist
doctor.
Is going to have God. A little something extra on his plate, man. If you know what I'm saying.
You know what would have happened? They would have said, we can't do this now. Now you have to do this whole thing over again. So
I don't know. Why can't you just set a date? I mean, just have a date for it. You know? Well, Andy Hart ran.
Hopefully
yeah,
he's
we won't
on,
see him the rest of the week.
Hopefully he's on something, because I can't wait to watch him gain 20 pounds.
I bet he's home already, and I bet he's listening to the show.
He's not listening to the show.
You don't think?
Nah. When people are off, they don't listen to the show.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that he's listening to the show. But I do agree with Tom's assessment. I hope he ends up gaining 20 pounds, because I can't tell you as a you know an overweight guy how irritating it is to see how much he eats and how thin he stays. And I know he works out, and I don't, and that's part of the reason
why
he's
in good
shape.
That's why I'm a little worried that maybe it's something else. Because
There's more to it than working out for him. At some point, his metabolism is going to become that of a grown adult and not the five-year-old kid that he acts like, and it's going to catch up to him. There's no doubt in my mind.
I just
the
hope
way
it,
he eats.
Yeah, because he eats whatever he wants, basically. But like you said, he doesn't really gain
however much he wants. It's amazing.
Yeah. And that, I don't know. I'm a little concerned that there's something inside there that's
like a third world country or something. I don't know.
Wow.
You sucked that bone dry.
We'll just give him a pill. He'll be fine.
All right,
Mike. Andy laughing at himself.
Mike from the Midwest writes in.
The Midwest. Well, can you be more specific, Mike?
Yeah, well, he didn't say where. So I just know his email address has Midwest in it, and he says, "Hey guys, I'm trying to recover from a serious hangover here in Lawrence, Kansas, after the national championship game."
So he's in Lawrence,
Kansas.
He is more
specific. He's in Kansas.
I'm a Cyclone fan. Iowa State, but any excuse to get drunk in the streets and see lots of nudity, I'm all for, he says. And
lots
I thought,
of nudity?
Yeah. College girls?
I got Andy chiming in right here.
Excellent.
You got him.
Would you just call him?
Wow. This is riveting.
We'll get the update from Tom after Tom's done with the call.
Give him the phone number. It's 508-543-7482. Anyway, and I thought I would do that with some draft questions.
I'm intrigued by the
Mike in Midwest.
The naked girls, though.
Well, it's college town. They won the championship.
Is that what you do? You run around naked? God bless
you. Well, yeah. I mean, you remember
I didn't know it was Mardi Gras.
Actually, yeah, the only time you and I saw a national championship with BU was hockey, and it was the middle of winter. None of the girls up there were taking their clothes off.
And there were none of them when I was there.
Unfortunately.
They didn't win any titles when I was at BU.
His first question, who are some guys that you love in this draft regardless of round? Second question, I like Keith Rivers, but do you think he fits well in the Pat system at outside linebacker?
I have my doubts about that. I do like the player, and I'd like to see Belichick have the opportunity to mold him in somewhere, but I do have my doubts as to whether he's got the right skill set. I think he's athletic enough that he could play, but he probably doesn't have the ideal size.
You think? I mean,
yeah, I think he's a good player, and I really like him, and I think he has the athleticism to play, but I'm not sure that he perfectly fits what Bill would like. In terms of guys, regardless of round, I don't know. I mean, we love Golston. Tom has been on the Antoine Kayson bandwagon for so long. Rivers is only listed at 236. That's pretty light for an outside guy.
He looks
guy.
Bigger than that, though.
And he plays 6'2", 236. I like him. I'd like to see Bill have the opportunity to work with an athlete like that, because I think that he has enough athleticism where Bill could find ways to use him. But in terms of, do you have like third and fourth round guy? Bo Bell is a guy that kind of jumped off the tape at us as a third round
linebacker.
Guy, fourth round guy that might be intriguing. Linebacker out of UNLV. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the connection there is that UNLV plays a 3-4, one of the very few teams that does that in college.
And the other guy, I know I've been harping on it for a while, and they probably don't need a quarterback right now, but any round, I love this guy, Kevin O'Connell, the quarterback from San Diego State. I think he has
the most talent. Another guy that I really liked.
I think he has the most talent of any quarterback in this draft.
Guy I really liked a lot. Liked him a lot.
You talk about jumping off the film. Out of all the quarterbacks we watched, his seemed to pop out the most. He was accurate on his throws. He was athletic. He's like 6'6".
A lot of poise in the pocket.
A lot of poise. Doesn't take off just for the sake of taking off like some running quarterbacks do. He takes off when he needs to. He runs when he sees the opportunity, but he'll stay in the pocket and throw it too. I like that patience and the ability to read defenses. Not forcing throws. He played in two. I think he played in the East-West Shrine Game, if I'm not mistaken, and one maybe the Hula Bowl or one of those games. So he played in two of those post bowl game tournaments, and was pretty much the star. He was on one winning team, I think, and one losing team. But on the losing team, he put up all the numbers and led the only scoring drive. So he's a guy I really like. Tom, we're talking about players you like in this draft, regardless of round, and whether Keith Rivers is a good fit for the Patriots at outside linebacker.
Outside?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't like him outside.
You don't like Keith Rivers outside?
No, I like him more inside.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he can play outside, I think, but I don't know. I think if they got him, they could use him a lot more inside. He's fast. He's got a lot of range. I don't know.
I like the athlete and the player. I'm not sure where he fits is basically what I said.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know.
But would you take him at seven
if they think he can play inside? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you can always throw a guy outside and have him rush a passer. That's fine.
Yeah.
But doing the other things, I don't know how good he's going to be at that. So if they think he can play inside and we can use him outside if we need him, if he fits into those two categories, then yeah, I would.
And the final three questions real quick. Are we high on Golston as the national media is? Yes, of course. I think we've talked about that.
Yeah,
ad nauseum.
We all love him. We all like him.
I've seen a lot of Aqib Talib being at Kansas and think he completely sucks and would not touch him until the third round.
There you go.
Why are there a lot of people so high on him?
I just wrote in my Ask PFW, someone said they like Jordy Nelson because from Kansas State
wide
they saw him kill Talib. And I said, well, Jordy Nelson is a late round prospect, and to be honest, that's where I think Talib should be. I don't see any reason why he is a first round prospect. I think he's going to be like Darnell Bing. He'll be out of the league in 3-4 years. I don't think he can play at all.
And Mike mentioned that he was an Iowa State Cyclone fan. He wants to know if we have any thoughts on defensive tackle Atiba Rubin, who's a Cyclone player.
I don't really know. I don't know him at all.
Yeah, I couldn't give you. You probably know much more about him than we do, being a Cyclone fan.
So what's the update from Andy? You just got off the phone with him, Tom?
They didn't find anything. So they had to take a couple more tests, but they didn't find nothing. So I said, well, are they going to give you a pill or something? And he said, well, right now they said for me to take Metamucil, which they told me to try. It doesn't work. I'll tell you that right now. And if it didn't work for me, it certainly ain't going to work for him. Okay? So that's a waste. And to keep taking Imodium. Now, people out there are probably taking Imodium. When I had my spells, I would take 2 Imodium, and I probably wouldn't go to the bathroom for 3 days. Andy takes 3 or 4 and goes to the bathroom in an hour. So I don't see what take Imodium does. It doesn't do anything.
So they said they didn't find anything. They've already done the procedure and they already know the results.
They had to take a couple more tests. They said they took samples or something, and they've taken a couple more tests, and he's got to go in and talk. But just from the test itself, I mean, that's actually good news because they didn't find anything serious.
So nothing obvious, you mean?
Right. But at the very least with me, they said, I must be irritable bowel syndrome. Take this. And it worked. So give him something, for Christ's sakes. The man's dying.
Seriously, there is something wrong with it. That's not a natural function.
It's not normal. And one of my personal favorite Andy Hart-isms is anytime he eats something, he then immediately rushes to the bathroom and he crosses that food off the list. You know, for a couple hours anyway.
That stuff's off.
Oh, good. Papagino's pee.
Somebody agrees with him.
My guess is after they do the test, if it's nothing, that's what usually they do. They'll just tell you it's irritable bowel syndrome, and they'll give you a pill to help with that. So hopefully that's what it is. But yeah, he said that the bathroom thing wasn't that big of a deal. He said it wasn't that bad
last night.
Yeah,
you mean?
And he said they must have changed it. It must be easier now than back when I did it a long time ago.
Yeah,
and he said it was just annoying, and
he
got used to not eating yesterday. So he said he was all right. So he's
What about the actual procedure today? Was he knocked out for that, or is he?
Yeah.
So he just woke up.
Yeah,
and
woke up and went to eat right after.
See, so, only Andy Hart can immediately eat something right after.
And then 2 minutes later, he's probably back on the throne.
So they don't know what it is yet. Hopefully, they'll give him a pill or something, because this information of just take Imodium. When Imodium doesn't work for you, you have a problem. That stuff was made to stop what happens to him. And he goes through it like it's not even there. It's not right.
He's chewing gum.
Unbelievable. A couple of things I wanted to touch on from last week that we never got to. A couple of injury updates. Quarterback Tom Brady. You remember the Super Bowl the whole week leading up to that.
Yeah, this was really pressing news. I agree. There needed to be a huge story in the papers about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a huge story in the paper last week.
Yeah, I know, but it was ridiculous.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, he was
okay.
Yeah, that he's fine. Mini Gary just jumped in the room.
Okay.
With notes
ahead.
And papers
you can
and stuff.
Proceed.
Okay. I thought he was coming in with food because, you know, it's been an hour and 15 minutes and we haven't once reminded the listeners that we don't have lunch today.
Yeah, we're done.
So I thought that might have been a reason for him jumping in on there.
Oh, you run out of gas over there?
No, I'm fine. Benjamin Watson also had ankle surgery this offseason, but apparently didn't affect him too badly.
You sure we didn't talk about that last week?
I don't think we did.
I thought we did. I thought we actually talked about it 2 weeks ago when Karen originally put that on the blog.
I don't recall doing that.
You must have talked about it last week.
Yeah, I thought we did. But the Brady thing, there was a story in the paper saying that Brady's okay. I'm wondering when the Larry Izzo story is going to be. I'm sure he's okay.
Given the fact that there was so much made about it that Super Bowl week.
That he had a sprained ankle for the Super Bowl weeks earlier?
The only reason I say that is because in past years when he had the shoulder problem, I mean, he had off-season shoulder surgery a couple of years ago.
But that's different when he was playing with dislocated shoulders and stuff.
Well, but who knew if the ankle was that bad or not? You know, if maybe there was some need for that. Who knows? So,
I mean, we know he was dealing with an injury because he wasn't practicing every day. But, I mean, it wasn't.
But how bad the injury was, I'm saying. The fact that he didn't have to have anything done to it.
Well, I think it would have been news if he had to have surgery. If it was fine,
I
don't think that's
fine.
News. Anyway, it's that time of day again here.
Hi, it's Lori Baranski. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I'm not saying anything about my breasts.
Hey,
guys. You all suck.
Well, obviously, Andy's not here, so we're going to have to try to fill his shoes. But in honor of Andy, the Urban Dictionary Word of the Day is colon clutch.
That's
colon clutch.
Okay.
And that is your Urban Dictionary Word of the Day.
Now, why did Lori do that?
We have a lot of people.
That spot? You mean?
I feel like Tom hasn't been here forever.
Yeah, I know. there's this new thing now where Gary is getting guest voiceover people to come in and record intros.
Chris Ferreira did one.
Chris Ferreira did one. Christina Acker from Patriots Today
did
one.
What did Chris Ferreira do?
Chris's was pretty good. He did one of those.
Why don't you play that one for him over there, Mini Gary?
This is webmaster Chris Ferreira from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. You suck, Andy.
Pretty good.
That is good.
Pretty good. Nice read by Ferreira.
Yeah. Yep.
He may have missed his calling. He's running websites. He should have been doing voiceover work.
Yeah, that's good.
The part that you can't tell is that Gary had to hold his hand through the whole thing. Good job by young Chris.
Yeah.
Very proud of him.
So we're getting...
What are their names? Rocky and Beef?
Oh, Rocky and Beef.
If only they could see him now.
Yep. Yeah, but they're stuck in prison somewhere, serving time for the big Frito-Lay heist. Chris in the Bronx writes in his subject line, lunch on Thursday. Unfortunately, it's Tuesday, so we still have another 2 days to go.
But that's nice, Chris.
And remember, Chris, that two people won't be here.
That's right. Fred and Andy.
Fred
are both,
and Andy will not be here.
Fred serving his suspension out in San
Francisco.
It's about
50-50 if I will be. And, so.
Why? Because Fred, someone else isn't here.
That'll be the third straight day that Fred won't be here, so I don't know if we'll be seeing Tom.
I'll definitely be gone after the show.
Won't be seeing Tom no more.
No. Chris writes, hey, guys, wondering if you've heard anything about Georgia defensive end Brandon Miller.
All right, let me interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
Eric, the Patriots are just now taking the field at Fenway Park as part of the Red Sox home opener festivities.
Yes.
Teddy Bruschi holding one of the Lombardi trophies. Larry Izzo's with him. Saw Kevin Falk. Saw Larry Izzo.
Yep. Lonnie Paxton.
A handful. There's a bunch of Bruins.
Some Celtics.
Red Sox and Celtics as well. And I'm trying to see the other Patriots that are there. I see.
I think you named them all, actually.
Oh, actually, I don't see Larry Izzo now. I thought I saw Izzo.
He's
before.
Right there.
Oh, there
he's
he
right
is.
There. Yep.
There he is. Yeah, so it's Bruschi, Izzo, Paxton and Falk. Those are the four.
Ainge is representing
is
the
Paxton
Celtics.
Gaining weight?
He might be. It's the offseason. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks a little like he did when he was a rookie. He was really chubby. And then he kind of redistributed the quote unquote.
Redistributed.
That's
a good
word. The weight.
So what happened was the Red Sox invited several players.
Who's
from,
the guy with the trophy right there for the Red Sox? I have no idea.
I don't know.
The guy looked like he was 12 years old.
But they invited past players from previous New England championship teams.
Right.
There was a scheduling conflict.
No availability, Tom. You know, it's one of those things. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Patriots are going to be there, but you can't talk to them.
So the Pats, some former champion Bruins and former champion Celtics.
Are the most represented.
Yeah.
It looks like, you know, Bill Russell and Danny Ainge. And
they were going to personally present the 07 Red Sox team with their World Series rings. And now they're out on the field before the first pitch here, showing off all the trophies that they've won. The Pats, like you said, have the Lombardi Trophy. The Bruins have their Stanley Cup, I think. I couldn't see.
Yeah, the Bruins, it's the early 70s, big bad Bruins with Ken Hodge and Donnie Marcotte and Pye McKenzie and guys like that. Tom's
Ainge,
like, who the hell are these guys? Who are you talking about?
Ainge has...
I'm still trying to figure out who that guy is that looks like he's 10 years old.
He's number 30.
Yeah, I have no idea
jersey
who that
number
is.
30?
The only one I know for the Red Sox is Brian Daboc. Is ML Carr.
ML Carr, Danny Ainge representing the Celts, Bill Russell there.
There's Johnny Busick.
Mm-hmm. Good weather for an opening day.
Gotta love Bobby
Fenway,
Orr,
huh?
Bobby Orr.
I like the Tigers.
You like the Tigers in this game, or you like the Tigers?
I actually like the Red Sox opponent every day for the next 25 or so days inclusive, because they're running on fumes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. They've been all over the country,
all over the world. Yeah.
They're getting their rings. It's kind of a bit, and meanwhile, the Tigers haven't won a game yet. Their backs are to the wall. They kind of really need to get off the schneid.
It's April. They got to get off the schneid.
Have you been reading?
They're 0-6.
Well, but
this was supposed to be one of the top teams in baseball. They're ready to dismantle them in the media.
I don't know what the stats are on this, but I would venture to say there haven't been too many 0-6 teams that have gone on to make the playoffs. I mean, I know it sounds silly in a 162-game schedule.
Are you serious?
I'm telling you. I'll bet you there aren't too many teams that started the season 0-6 and went on to make the playoffs.
Wow.
It's not like starting 0-2 in football where, you know, every year someone does that and ends up making the playoffs. It's a weird dynamic.
It seems...
You would think it would be the opposite with 16 games
and
162 games, but...
Wow. Anyway, Chris in the Bronx wants to know about Georgia defensive end Brandon Miller. He seems to have dropped off the internet, even though he ran a 4.540 and bench pressed 24 times. On paper, the 6'3", 255 pounds, he seems a decent fit for a 3-4 outside linebacker, but I've only seen him play a couple of times and would like to hear any info you have on him. And don't worry, Paul, he says, some of us are still worried enough about you guys to buy you lunch. Thursday's on me. that's good to know.
That's very nice.
So Brandon Miller.
I think the Georgia guys are defensive ends.
Yeah,
I don't think they play anything that resembles any kind of 4-3. Their ends don't drop. They simply rush the passer. I've never seen a Georgia guy make the transition, I don't believe, to 3-4 outside linebacker. It doesn't seem like teams that run a 3-4 ever even draft them. So to me, they're strictly 4-3.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about this one. I like the other one, Howard, and I do think he has some potential to be that. I liked his moves off the edge. Now, I agree with Tom. All we saw is him come after the passer. He's absolutely right on that. But I think that depending on the guy's aptitude for doing other things, I did see him, and I thought that he was effective coming. You know, that's what they asked him to do at Georgia, and I thought he was effective at that. And I think if you have that one skill, I think there's a chance. Now, I don't know much about this other guy, Miller. I don't really know a lot about him.
I just looked at some tape this morning on the defensive line, and you know,
Marcus Howard, I think, is a guy that has.
I think
he has a possibility.
He might be the better.
Not
of the
saying
two,
that you know you're going to drop everything and move up in the second round. You know, I don't know where these guys are supposed to go. I just think that he had. I saw him coming off the edge, rushing the passer on pretty much every play on his highlight tape, and for the most part, he got there. He had good speed, good quickness. A couple times got pushed a little bit too wide. You know that Chris Slade thing where you're chasing cars around the back.
Yeah.
But if you can do that and you can do it effectively, then I think Bill can take you and teach you how to do some of the other things like setting the edge against the run. And you know, let's face it, they don't do a ton of coverage anyway. But I mean, they need to learn to play standing up and do some of those things. And if you can, I think you have a shot.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The phone number, and that's what our old friend Callie Girl did. She gave us a call. Callie Girl, what's going on?
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Pretty good. I know you all miss me, right?
We do. Where you been?
Oh, I just been busy. Actually, I called on April Fool's, and I thought you guys were playing a joke on the callers because no one answered, but then I found out Gary wasn't in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gary left the room for a long stretch of time there, so.
Yeah, the phone just kept ringing, and I was like, are they playing a joke on us?
No, we never would have answered, even this time, if we were playing a joke.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, I'm sure Gary was off at one of his many important meetings and carrying around, as Tom likes to say, the Penske file in his notebook.
Get busy.
Fred's gone today?
Yeah, Fred's has been suspended.
Yeah, he's serving a one-week suspension.
He was suspended for improperly suspending Tom.
Right.
Yep.
So they banished him to the other coast. He's closer to you than he is to us right now.
Oh, where's he at?
San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Very close.
Yeah. Where are you exactly? Are you Southern Cali?
L.A.
Or? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know John?
The fun part.
You know John from L.A.? Our friend
no.
that called last hour?
Yeah, I'm sure everybody out in that
well,
general,
you know, small town.
General area.
Small town.
What do you think of Charlton Heston passing?
Well done, Minnie Gary.
Good job.
If she knows who that
Good
is,
job.
I'll give you $1 million.
Well, I wanted to support the video show because I think that would be a nice idea.
You mean broadcasting PFW in progress via video on the web?
Maybe once a week at least.
Yeah, I don't think Fred's going to go for it. He seems to be pretty set on this one.
Maybe if we keep supporting it. And then also for your sales, you guys keep talking about T-shirts, but I think you guys
merchandise,
should have,
yeah.
Yeah, your merchandise. Mm-hmm. I think you guys should have PFW bobbleheads.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That is a good idea,
Can you imagine Andy's?
Oh, my God. His would be
like
would
fall
weird...
over.
Yeah.
you hit the top of it and it would fall over.
What a great idea. PFW bobbleheads.
I would have them all like... on my desk. Or
you could use mine as an eraser. You could use mine as an eraser because there's nothing up there. Just be
that's
like,
a, that's
yours would be more like a Weeble, though, wouldn't it?
You know, I don't know why you got to be like that. I didn't take any shots at you.
You know, that's what we do on this show.
That's
not when Andy's not here.
That's a good idea.
Hurt my feelings,
but
Cali girl.
The thing is, it's a new idea, so Fred won't go for it.
Yeah.
He's too busy.
Either that or someone else has already done
it.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, actually, I saw on the Brewers game the other day, they had the Prince Fielder bobblehead day, so we're done. They're already doing it in Milwaukee.
It's been done.
Bobblehead, that's not a bad idea, though.
PFW bobbleheads.
That's a great idea. Not that I'm surprised that it came from you, but...
Well, it certainly would appear that you are, Tom.
I said not that I'm surprised that it came from you, I'm just saying it's a great idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have some ideas up here.
So you'd buy PFW in progress merchandise, huh?
Well, bobbleheads would be cool. I don't know if
just
I'd
bobbleheads?
Have a t-shirt, but
why not?
Where am I gonna wear it?
To bed.
Yeah.
All around California. Spread the word.
Where I'd wear it to bed.
How about PFW lingerie? Would you wear any of that?
Hey,
now
maybe.
I'm uncomfortable.
She said maybe. Not a T-shirt, but lingerie.
Well, they have Patriots.
Yeah, that's what we need is PFW thongs.
They have
those
Patriot
will sell.
Ones.
Those will definitely be big sellers.
All right. Well,
have a
what's
good
going?
Day, guys.
Thanks,
Cali
girl.
Thanks for the suggestion.
Okay.
We'll pass it on to Fred, and
so Fred can
he'll say no.
That's a good
put
one.
In the circular file.
I think Fred already is his own human bobblehead doll, actually.
You know what he'll do? You'll mention it, and he'll just go, meh. You'll just give it a half.
It's been done. It's been done. Yeah, all right.
You know what it is? He's got – making money's not good enough anymore. You have to make a lot of money. He's so crafticized. You can't just make some money now. It's got to be
gazillion
huge.
Dollars.
It's got to be, you know, CBS.
If we're going to invest,
right.
If we're going to invest like $5,000 and we're not going to make more than, say, $50,000, that's really not worth our effort.
Why bother? We need to, how about that just gives me an idea. Other suggestions for things that people would buy with the PFW logo or likeness
other
of us
than
on
thongs
other
and
than thongs and bobbleheads. What else would
I
want
to know how
want?
Many people out there would buy a bobblehead.
I think a lot of people would, actually. Bobbleheads are...
Can you imagine how little the market would be for the PFW thong? I mean, you think about, first of all, the amount of women we have listening
well,
to
look
start
at,
with.
Look
we probably don't
MySpace.
Have, we probably don't have a tremendous
page.
Amount of
right.
women, right?
Yeah, but look at our MySpace
how
page.
Many out of the women that we do have do you guys think should, with quotes around should, be wearing thongs?
If you do just a cursory search of our MySpace page, there are a few on
this
there
is
who
what I
think
I
probably...
Say.
Like, you don't see guys like me wearing cut-off T-shirts before the women attack
God.
Me, you know?
Well, the
when you have a big fat belly, you don't wear cut-off T-shirts, okay?
You know what we should do?
I'm guessing that we don't have a lot of women that should be wearing thongs. I'm just saying.
If we're going to do T-shirts or something, we'll just tell the guy, listen, can you make one thong, too, and we'll just send it to
we'll
Cali
send it to Cali girl. You know, she's a model. She can wear it.
you know, maybe Christy in D.C. I think she's in D.C., right? You know, maybe she should be wearing it. I don't know.
See, I'll get her a PFW thong made, but I want to see a picture of her in it.
Oh, goes without saying. Goes without saying.
What about PFW fatheads?
Again, we already have Andy on the panel.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
So that's a little redundant, but
he wouldn't be able to put one on a wall.
No,
certain bedrooms in my house are kind of small. I wouldn't be able to fit an Andy Hart fathead.
I'd love a Tom Casale fathead.
I'm sure you would. You could look at a twin of yourself standing right there.
I like the bobblehead doll.
I like that idea. Good job, Kelly girl. Good job. Get some more ideas rolling in there, listeners. Other pieces of merchandise with our logo or likeness on it that you'd like to that you wouldn't mind.
Yeah,
buying.
You have to email it in because Fred gets the emails.
Yes,
he
deletes
them.
Please do that. Yeah. Well, at least we'll all get them though, so he can't delete it and say that we never heard about it. Joe in Winnipeg, Manitoba writes subject line: apology to Eric. Hey guys,
I wonder why he read that.
Oh, come on. I wanted to apologize to Eric for my catheter comment a few shows back. Yes, I remember that one. When people on the show think you've crossed the line, you have clearly said something grossly inappropriate. I'm actually a closet, poor choice of words, he writes, Scalavino fan. I like that he brings a bit of highbrow feel to the show. I generally don't find him to be pompous either. Thank you very much. Although the fact that he won't swim in a public pool with the rest of us filthy humanoids perhaps borders on pomposity.
I wouldn't do that.
Thank you, Tom.
Eric's parents think he's pompous.
Me and my wife just had this discussion the other night about swimming in a public pool. Won't touch it.
Oh, public pool?
Yes.
That's not what we were talking about. You were talking about pools in general.
No, I wasn't.
Don't change the story.
No, you were talking
about pools, and Minnie Gary's giving me the nod of approval. You were talking about pools in general.
Yeah, you said you'd only swim in the ocean.
Given the choice between the pool and the ocean, I'll choose the ocean anytime. But
because of the cleanliness, which was your point, which was ridiculous.
A private pool is different
from
a public pool.
Now, a public pool... I agree with you guys. A public pool, you don't know who's in there.
That's what I was talking about, Paul.
Like, besides the fact
your own in-ground pool in the backyard,
not what you were talking
about. That's different. That's what I was
just telling you. You were talking
of.
About pools in general. Anyway,
yeah, given the choice of going to the ocean or
it's still cleaner
the pool,
than the ocean.
Yeah, but it's
regardless,
the beach. You can't. I don't know. There's just a different feel to the beach.
Not to get Fred's old different color of the the tides.
Well, it is time for the 135 diversion, so that's about the right time to do that.
Good to see Royce Clayton came back for the ring ceremony. I didn't know he was on the team last year.
Did you ever figure out who that little guy number 30 was?
No.
In the Red Sox uniform?
Minnie Gary, you know who that was?
He's shaking his head. He doesn't know.
No.
Well, I think he's shaking his hair. His head is standing still. But
useless.
Joe in Winnipeg wants to know, I have a question about the NFL schedule. How does the league decide home and away games when the division winners play each other the following season? Is it random or is there a formula? Well, there is a bit of a formula.
No, it's a formula.
That. Yeah.
They rotate divisions and then there's two divisions that you're left not playing those teams.
Right. And you
so
play
those are the teams that you play the corresponding place that you finish.
Right. And I believe this year it was AFC South.
South. And North.
And North. So we played the Colts, and again on the road.
And the Steelers.
Right, and the Steelers.
At home.
At home.
Which is, again, at home, like we did last year as well.
And he says, I'm trying to pick which games to go to next season. From a fan's perspective, you can play too, Paul. Just pretend. That was his.
I'm a huge fan, just because I don't get up and yell at games.
What are going to be the top three games next year to attend?
The Colts is always going to be one.
I don't know if he means here or on the road or in general.
Yeah, if we're talking about at home, then I would guess that it's Pittsburgh, Denver, maybe. Denver's at home, right?
Game. Yeah.
I mean, the division, I guess the Jets. I don't care about the division games, to be honest with you. You've seen them. But if you haven't been to a lot of games, then,
You know one
that
might be interesting that you could probably get tickets for?
Arizona. Yes.
Just because they can score points. Mm-hmm. And it might be, I don't expect them to come in here and beat the Patriots, but you might see a fun game if they can get that passing game going. And it's probably a game that you could easily get tickets for, if you compare it next to a Jet game.
Comparatively speaking.
Because I'm with Paul, I could care less about, like, if I was going to go watch Dallas, I don't want to watch them play the Giants. I care less about that.
Yeah, and that's back to Tom's rant about the NFL national games. You get the Giants are going to open the season, so let's put them against Washington, a game that we see twice a year every year for the last 100 years. I mean, who are they playing in the AFC? Cincinnati playing?
Right.
Somebody that you don't get to see should be in that game, like the Colts-Patriots. At the time, that was a game that wasn't an annual.
Yep.
That wasn't an annual matchup. Now, it's worked out that the Patriots and Colts have seen each other quite often, but that's because they've been so good and played in the playoffs.
Who do you think, if New England had won the Super Bowl, who do you think would have gotten that Thursday night game?
apparently the Jets.
I was going to say, based on what they did, the Jets. You know, for some reason they think they were interested in that game, but I really don't think there are a lot of people outside of New England interested in the Patriots and Jets.
Well, being that Joe was from Winnipeg, maybe
I'm talking about Patriots fans.
No, I know.
Outside of New England.
But he was asking about which games would be the best ones to see this year. Being that you're already out that far, maybe a few of the West Coast games, because those are going to be good ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think Seattle, San Francisco, yep. Oakland, you know, those are all, you know.
We're going to San Diego, too.
San Diego's, that's quite a hike from Manitoba.
Probably no different than going to Foxborough, though.
No, but I think he might be going to Foxborough for a reason.
But anyway, I mean, it'll be a good schedule. It'll be a good schedule. Particularly, I think those West Coast trips are going to be, that's going to be the, you know, last year when we saw the schedule, we thought that stretch where they, in the middle of the season in October, I think, where they had like four out of six on the road.
Beat last year's schedule.
That was
tailor-made. I get to watch all the college football late in the year when we had all those home games. I mean, that was a thing of beauty.
That was a good schedule last year.
It was. My computer is stuck here for a second. Sorry. I'm trying to get back to the emails, but this thing froze up. Our good friend Kamani in Chicago wants to ask some unfootball-related questions. He says,
"Oh, I love those.
How is your drawing of the staff going? I remember a couple of weeks ago I told you I was doing a cartoon of the PFW crew.
Did a phenomenal job on me.
No, I know. Everyone loves the Tom Casale.
No wonder why he's a good friend. He wants to know about Eric's drawing.
Yeah, he's a faithful writer in.
Yes, he is a faithful writer.
Did you do anybody else other than me yet?
Oh, I got Fred. I think Fred's is down pat. Everybody likes Fred spot on. I'm having trouble with, and I think I got mine.
He drew this.
Mine's pretty easy.
He drew this medicine ball with a couple of strands of hair on top and said it was me.
But I'm having trouble. I'm having a little trouble with Andy and Paul. So I'm about. I'm close. I'm close. We're getting there. We're going to have a little unveiling.
Now,
later
let
on.
Me ask you a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have distinct features on our faces. Like
yes.
We both have big noses. Fred has those chubby cheeks.
Yep.
Does that make it easier to make it look like someone when they have like
Nose? Paul has the easy part I have with Paul is the hair. I've gotten the hair
right,
part,
but I mean like
the rest of him that's
the facial
but I think that's
features.
What Tom is saying that maybe you don't have the
distinguishing characteristic.
Yeah, because I don't really have a big nose, but I don't have a small nose.
Well, actually, it's funny. On Andy, the part I'm getting stuck on is his head, his hair. Like his face and his mouth I'm having no trouble with because I just have this, you know, a big mouth and an angry look in his face, and that's had no problem. But for some reason, I can't get the shape of his head right. It's never.
That,
why
don't you that
use,
makes sense.
Never
big
why don't enough? You use mini Gary's hair and put it on my head? People think I have hair. Actually,
you're not going to be fooling anybody.
Actually, people would think that I have a wig.
that's more what they would think. Yeah. He says, and when is your next showing? The next one's scheduled.
Is this your friend?
Yeah.
He's the one guy that loves the art. He's not my friend. He's from Chicago.
He loves the art. Is that kind of like Jason Taylor loves the dance?
I don't know. But the next scheduled one is in October. But I'm waiting to hear back from some other ones in the meantime. He said, and you originally said that you weren't working in charcoal anymore. That's correct. I've been painting for over a year now.
Girls only want boyfriends who have great skills.
And I got that. That's for sure. Paul's mad at me now.
I'm not mad at you.
You said at one point in the show I would get pompous, and I think I crossed that line already.
That happened at about 12:05.
Come on.
Just me.
Be like that.
I can be
like
that. I'm going to be like that.
What's catching your attention over there?
I'm just watching the Red Sox thing. I am kind of curious to see who throws out the first pitch that they made this big secret of.
It's got
to
be one of these guys, isn't it? One of these players?
Well, they said it was someone who hadn't been to Fenway in quite some time, Tom Werner said this morning. So I'm trying to think of who hasn't been at Fenway in any significant amount of time.
Bill Buckner.
That's who I think it is, to
really?
Be honest with you. That's who I'm thinking. And that's what they were saying on the radio.
I think that'd be a nice gesture to have him do that.
Yeah, I mean,
plus if you bet the Tigers, now you're really feeling good.
he's been around Fenway, but probably not for a while. Probably not in the last 10 years. He'll get a thunderous ovation. Remember the last time he came back? The ovation he got. That's one of the things that was really a misnomer is that he's the big villain.
Yeah.
People in Boston don't consider Bill Buckner a villain. They consider John McNamara the villain in that thing. And Jerry Callahan said that this morning, and I couldn't agree with him more. People in Boston think John McNamara ruined that 86 World Series, not Bill Buckner. But, you know, nationally, it's more fun if you have a goat that you can point a finger at and say that's the reason why
like
you lost.
Bartman. He didn't have anything to do with anything. Gonzalez missed that play. The next, you know what I
Let's
mean?
Let's put it this way. Bartman had a lot more to do with the Cubs losing than Bill Buckner did with the Red Sox.
We already got some response for PFW merchandise.
The bobbleheads.
Other things that we should get.
They're this up is, the flight. The shells were stocked with them.
This is from Dan in Fairfax. He says, I think you need PFW talking alarm clocks.
Oh, God.
Toms can say, you know why?
It's and time to get up.
And then tell stories of his days as a personal trainer. Pauls can talk about Drew Bledsoe. Eric's will repeat things you already said and follow it with, I knew that. Fred's would talk about great moves the Patriots made or didn't make, but the viewpoints will change depending on if the player is or isn't on the team. That's perfect. And Andy's would just talk about boobs. The Fred one I would buy in an instant. Yeah. That would be perfect. Oh, God, that's funny.
I particularly like when Fred doesn't realize that a guy is no longer here or is here.
Yeah.
And then he gets his stories.
It changes on a dime.
You know, like, you know, Victor Hobson, he's terrible. Why would the Patriots go after him? Fred. They signed him. Yeah, he's a great fit. Perfect fit.
What was the quote
right
yesterday? Start printing the Super Bowl tickets now, I believe it was.
I didn't hear that. What was he
doing? He says now they can just, now that they got Hobson, they can just go out and draft Golston, and he said, you might as well start printing the Super Bowl tickets now.
Oh, God.
Here's a guy, if you asked him last year about Victor Hobson, he's a nobody. Yeah. He's a nobody.
What's he done?
Shut
up. On the Jets.
What's he done?
He's on the Jets. What's he
Screw
done?
You guys.
Mike from Columbus, Ohio wants PFW toilet wipes. He says, please go ahead with branding PFW toilet wipes. Each box could have the image of an individual PFW character. Then listeners could collect all of them and decide which box to use based on the previous PFW broadcast.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
That was nice of Rapes to chime in. Mike Vrabel?
Mike from Columbus, right. Yeah. Yeah. He's a cerebral guy.
You come up with a nice, clever email like that.
Yep. Yep. Just forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, this is a surprise.
Great.
Out of emails?
No.
He's got a whole screen full.
I like to screen them first, unlike Fred, and who just reads them and starts swearing on the air.
You can start reading them and then, you know, realize there's something that you probably shouldn't say and stop.
Unlike Fred, who has to
say it, then realize it was something that he probably shouldn't have said.
But that's, I don't like the way he reads the emails.
Oh, look at you. Not pompous at all.
No, because he starts stumbling.
I do it better.
The guy that's been here for 20 years. I don't like the way he's doing it.
See, you're doing it all
wrong. Because he's getting himself in trouble that way. I don't want him to get himself in trouble.
What's this thing about Matt Lehrer in the NFL? Some steroid investigation going down? NFL says it's cooperating with government's investigation?
I don't know. He wasn't taking very good steroids. He stinks.
You have to check that one out the next time it comes around. All right, what do you got over there, Hotshot?
We got Alden in France. Doesn't say where exactly, but...
So you couldn't say the name.
Couldn't say it in the French language, no.
That's about français.
En français. He says, I don't understand when people get upset that the Pats or any team don't get primetime games. Last week we were talking, they announced the opening week primetime games.
Right.
That wasn't helping us last year, having to constantly play under the bright lights with a national audience watching. Well, it helped for 18 games, at least. For me, it's not even just playing at night, losing a day, and messing up the team's routine. It's also that you really have to wonder whether or not teams like the Eagles or Ravens would have gotten up for their games against the Pats like they did if those games were played at 1 in the afternoon. Personally, I somewhat doubt it, he writes. Also, I think you're right, Paul, that if you have to play road games on the West Coast, you might as well play night games since you get all screwed up anyways. I'd be shocked if we don't see a Monday night game at Seattle or San Diego.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, and by the way, I happened to read the other day that only two MLB teams ever started 0-6 and made the playoffs. Neither made the World Series. Good research. Okay. Good job, Alden.
There you go. Nice. That's good stuff.
Why are people mad because the Patriots are not?
No, there was a couple.
Last week,
Last week when they came out with the schedule, the national schedule for the first week, we had a few emails. I wouldn't say a lot. We had a few emails that said it's another example of the league penalizing the Patriots for their Spygate situation and whatever. And it was funny because the next day you come to find out that Robert Kraft openly lobbied Roger Goodell to make sure they didn't get a national game in the first week. and they wanted a 1 o'clock home game to open the season. And I was laughing because, you know, here are all these people that are constantly thinking that there's a conspiracy theory against the Patriots, completely forgetting the fact that how good the Patriots are for league business, and they would want them on every week if they could get them.
And the other thing is, while I wish that the Raiders weren't on, you don't want to use the Cowboys, the Patriots, and teams like that in week one because of the flex scheduling.
Right.
You're going to, I mean, how many times can you be on six?
Yeah.
Six.
They'll be on six
and,
next year.
And if you recall, Tom, when the NFL used its allotment of six on the Patriots last year, that was also a conspiracy to make them lose. If you remember, there was a lot of people saying that there was an unfair schedule and, you know, moving all their games was another reason that they just wanted the Patriots to lose games.
Right.
So you can't really win no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the Patriots, for our purposes, we want as many 1 o'clock games between now and the start of flex scheduling as possible, because you know those
you can't
flex games,
those. Right.
Those flex games, they're going to change the Patriots every chance they get.
Especially if, you know, the Patriots have only one or two losses at that point, and they're, you know, the draw that they were last year.
Right.
That's a no-brainer. The administrator of our PFW in progress MySpace page, James from
James.
England, writes in with a question. Am I right in saying the Colts? He has two questions. Am I right in saying the Colts have a new stadium this year? Yes, you are.
Lucas Oil Stadium or
Field, one of those things.
Field.
If I am right, do you, like me, think the Colts' first home game will be a Monday Night Football game versus the Pats? No, because I think the Colts are opening against Chicago.
In Chicago?
I think it's at Lucas Oil.
That's one of the national games.
I think that's one of that first weekend
game. It's like
the Sunday night
game?
I think.
Yeah. Kill them.
So, yeah.
But see, that's an example of a game that I think is fine.
Right. No,
not because it's the Colts, but don't give me the Colts and Jags.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Give me a team that get the Colts play that they don't always play.
But don't think that Patriots-Colts game isn't going to be a prime time.
It is.
The reason why is, Tom just said the reason why that game is not going to be in week one. They want that for when they're looking to bump. And they're going to get the ratings in week one anyway.
And it'll be somewhere in November because that's sweet month.
That's I was going to say, traditionally, the San Fran Cowboys, they're always in November.
Yeah.
So you're looking
television
at
sweeps. That's when it'll be.
Hype it up. You know, hey, 8-1 against 7, you know, 8-1 against 7-2, or, you know, last year, God, you know, 5-0 against 5-0 with Dallas and the Patriots.
Yeah.
9-0 and 8-0 for the Colts and Patriots at the time when they played.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the NFL is looking for. That's what they're hoping for. You want to talk about conspiracies? That's the kind of conspiracy that they're looking for.
Yep. Some other listeners writing in support of the bobblehead doll idea.
I think Callie Girl's onto something.
I think she is. That's her great. That's going to be her lasting contribution to this show.
Her only contribution to this show.
Oh, come on. Well, did you have to?
What?
Come on.
What?
I'm still holding out for that picture in a thong.
Well, we got to get it made first. So
actually, you should send me a picture with you in a thong first.
I will Photoshop it and
no,
see how
so
it works.
No, just so I can see if it's worth getting you the thong.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
The PFW
right,
one.
Yeah, research,
if
planning
I, if
ahead.
If I feel that it's you know, it's going to look good on you, then I'll get the PFW thong for you.
Right. Anthony from Maine writes in, wrote in last week about my buddy, UMaine tight end H-back Matt Mulligan. I appreciate you guys reading it and giving your 2 cents.
And we ran with it, too.
We did.
Yeah, we put him in the paper.
We did. Quick follow-up. The Colts sent a scout up today at 9 a.m. to have him do all his pro day tests again. He'd been told that the Patriots were going to come up, but the Colts scout said that he was just going to share the results with the Pat scout. Does that really happen?
I would imagine it does, probably more than you'd think.
Yeah, actually, we've seen a lot of the scouts in the press box, and
it's a pretty tight fraternity.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens. I mean, because you're just getting numbers, really. I mean,
yeah, I don't think that they're sharing.
They're not sharing the it's a philosophical question.
Yeah, they're not sharing. I thought he had an opportunity to do A, B, and C. They're sharing. He ran a 4, 6, 8, 40 bench pressed 31 times, whatever. I think that's just raw data.
And his raw data he has here. He says he improved on all his stuff except his vertical. 225 for 35 reps. That's pretty good. That's one of the best ones in.
That's Casale
in
Heartlife.
Yeah. 4.78 for his 40 time, 10.1 broad jump, and 35.5 vertical. So,
I subbed in for Tom last week when he was on suspension to do the Patriots Today thing for tight ends, and the last thing I did was a big thing about Matt Mulligan, and they cut it.
They
cut it
because they had no video to
I said one last guy to keep an eye on. I said I don't know a ton about this guy and blah blah blah. And I said we have this emailer who's writing in about it, and I explained basically what Anthony has been telling us,
and they cut it.
My guess is they didn't have any VO to cover.
I don't understand. This guy,
you heard it on PVN.
This guy was good at Maine, and he played on offense. I thought they put all their athletes on defense,
yeah,
according to a former writer in this area.
Really?
Who said,
Maine
is good because they put all their good players on defense.
When I called the guy from Dallas yesterday to do the writer's mock draft, he goes, how come you didn't call your buddy? And he said the name. I don't want to, like, trash everybody. And I said, I didn't have a spare day, and he just started laughing. I said, I was a little busy today.
He said that, keep following up, his that we were concerned at the time when he first brought it up that, you know, he's playing at Maine. He hasn't really played against Division I talent. He said, that's true for the most part, but I neglected to say that he was picked to play in the Texas versus the Nation Bowl. He was chosen to be a captain after being an alternate last-minute addition. He started the game and was a dominant blocker throughout. So we're looking for a Kyle Brady-type replacement.
Priority free agent.
Right. So that,
I think he makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then he has a Patriot question about cornerbacks. What would the depth chart look like today out of Hobbs, Bryant, Newman, he says, which would we don't have a Newman. I don't know who he's thinking about there.
Evidently we're going to make a trade with Dallas, too.
Yeah. Which two would start and who? Maybe he means Merriweather.
Hobbs, Bryant, Merriweather, or Lewis Sanders. Maybe Lewis he's
Sanders.
Talking about Sanders.
Who would be the starter and who would be the starters and who would be the nickel?
I would say Merriweather and Hobbs.
Yeah, I think Bryant has a chance, too, with his experience. But I agree. I think Merriweather's going to be a corner, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
if they move him
two
to
of
corner,
you've
got to feel that he's got a good chance to start. Bryant, yeah, I could see him making a push if he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Webster, too, would be in the mix.
As a corner guy.
As a corner, yeah.
Not as a starter.
Oh, I don't know if he'd be as a starter. I think,
it's a three-man race for starter, probably.
We probably throw the disclaimer out that none of us knows, you know, at all what we're talking about. But I think that Tom's theory on Merriweather, I think, is a good one. I think if they're going to move him to corner full time, then he's going to be a player. He's going to be in that mix to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And I think he came on, you know, toward the end of last year. So I think he probably felt a little bit more comfortable with what he was doing, and it showed.
Strippers finally chimed in that. He's betting the farm, he says. Betting the farm.
On Dirty.com.
That Tom and Andy cannot do 225 for 35 reps.
I can't.
No, not 35. I was exaggerating.
First of all, the most I've ever done was either 28 or 29. I just missed 30.
That's still pretty damn good.
And that was... Are we talking now, or are you talking... Now, I can probably hit 20 at any time. Then if I wanted to really work at it, I could probably get to 25 at this point in my life if I really wanted to, which I do not. So
yeah, I forget. Andy, a couple of years ago, Andy did the combine.
Andy's gone over 30 a couple of times. Yeah. I think he said 32 or 33 was his most.
But similar
That's
to you, that was a while
ago. Yeah.
That was a while ago, similar to you.
I mean, even getting close to that.
But that
number
that's something you got
to
do, like, you really got
to
work
train
at
for
it.
That.
Yeah, like... You can't just lay down, and we're not that strong.
But my guess is they both could do it more than 20 right now, just
having not done it,
having not
trained for it,
having not trained for it at all. Because they both work out, they both
over 20,
they both lift
right around 20, 21, 22. I
still pretty damn good.
Probably do.
How about you, Hi-Ho?
225.
Yeah, can you?
I'm lucky if I could do it once.
I certainly.
Now, I mean, the whole, you know, when I was in shape and when I was actually, you know, caring at all about any of this stuff.
Yep.
Probably five. Tops. I was never a weightlifter.
Really,
pipe cleaner for
us. BU baseball program. We didn't see you guys down there that much.
First of all, I didn't ever see you anywhere near the athletic facility.
You
so
weren't there when I
so
was there.
So let's just state that. You know,
you were
front,
5 years ahead of me.
Up front, I was a baseball player, but I wasn't a punter. Okay, number one.
He's getting mad at me. He's going to swear.
But I could never lift. I'm not a weightlifter. Let me look at these pipe cleaner arms I had. No shoulders, no arms. I got no development.
You had to go to the boil.
5 foot nothing, 100
body by
nothing.
Boil. Body by boil. That was the whole thing.
Mike didn't spend a whole lot of time with us. He was with us, but I think he looked down his nose at us. He said, I know that they're cheating for hockey, and we're gonna let them go through the promotions over here. But yeah, I was not throwing 225 up too many times.
What do we
Bill
got
Buckner.
Here on Fenway?
Bill Buckner.
First baseman.
We hit it.
It's going to be, huh?
Turn it up there, Mini Gary. Can't hear it.
Got some audio in there? Anything? Here we go. Is that a tear he just wiped from his eye?
Yeah, it looks it.
Everyone guess this ball, please.
Yeah. It was in the Globe, I think.
Yeah. Everybody guessed it. A guy who hadn't been at Fenway in quite some
moment.
Time.
That's a good moment right there.
Although I think they oversold it a little bit by saying it was going to send tingles down everyone's spine.
Well, he's touched. That's good. That's nice.
What is that song they have playing in the background?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Sounds like they're at his funeral.
Well, I was just going to say, it sounds like
you
a death
know
march.
What would be absolutely hysterical is if he threw the pitch and it went through the catcher's legs.
The catcher should do it on purpose.
I would love to get the opportunity to throw out a first pitch for something. And I would definitely I'd throw a curve.
You throw chin music.
No, I'd throw a curve. Much like I'm going to strike Andy Hart on three times, by the way.
I can't wait to see that.
Andy Hart thinks he's going to hit a fastball. Yeah. He ain't getting anything straight.
I got to be honest. This is a movie waiting to happen. If John in L.A., the Bill Buckner story.
Oh, God,
I mean, how he was a great player.
Listen to that soundtrack.
Remembered for one bad play that he made.
I know.
When he was old and injured, and then the return to Fenway with the music. That's John. This is your thing, baby. This could put you on the map.
It's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
It's good stuff, though. That's a good moment there for Red Sox.
You okay over there? You need a moment with yourself?
No,
it's just the fifth time you said it was a good moment.
I say this Buckner's a loser. I
want to see the pitch.
Everything he touches turns to crap.
I want to see this pitch. They got to get this pitch. Here we go.
Okay, Bill, fire it in there.
Swing and a pop up.
Right over the plate. Nice strike. Nice pitch.
It's a good pitch.
Nice.
Certainly not going to beat GW's effort at Yankees game.
You know,
in 2001, fired gas right down the middle.
That's a good
win. With a bulletproof vest on.
Well, we got a lot of emails that we didn't get to, but luckily we have Thursday's show to get to them all. And
we got to Andy Hart's colon.
Yeah, I know. We have lunch on Thursday, too, so that's going to make our day. And
Good stuff, Eric. Great job hosting the show, my man. Great job.
Keep those email ideas coming for PFW merchandise. We'll see you guys on Thursday.